Blog Talk Radio.
What about tomorrow? Time for us to start winning is now. 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 Now.
Hey, they don't like us, we don't like them. Nothing wrong with that, all right? All right? All right? All right?
At the end of the day, it's the same three things you've had to do in 35 that you got to do now in 2018.
I do not see no holes on this wall.
You got to run the ball.
Barkley off the left side. Here he goes. Look at the speed. Oh, my goodness. Breaks the tackle. Going to take it to the house. 92 yards. Tying with the defender. Saquon Barkley.
You gotta stop the run.
Tyreek Hill lines up in the backfield.
The ball pops free, and it's recovered by Harrison.
A snack for David Harrison early.
And you gotta pressure the passer.
Wentz hangs in, holds it down. Down he goes. And an early sack by Olivier Vernon.
Two kinds of players in this league, folks. There are guys that play professional football, and there are professional football players. And the professional football players are the guys we want. I don't want guys that want to win. I want guys that hate to lose.
Odell Beckham Jr. down the sideline for the touchdown.
Giants fans, you are now listening to the hottest show on the planet, The Shakedown. Here to give you everything you need to know on your New York football Giants are Black Friday.
Welcome to the New York football Giants, Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. the Golden Child.
He's a chokey, we're choking.
Do you know who Alec Ogletree is? Like, I'm asking you for real.
Really?
But do you know who he is?
J-Rock.
You saying we going 16-0, huh?
16-0, bro. How dare you say anything worse?
How dare you?
Out your mind.
You
know
we just drafted the Messiah.
Holy and the one and only, Shake
Montana. If that man was a prospect like a Peyton Manning or a Joe Montana, like I've been saying the whole fucking time, you don't pass up on this talent. You don't do it. You don't do it.
Now here is your host, Shakes Montana.
He will be in just a minute, just a moment. He will be in. This is at Nacho in the Box, filling in for him. Just for a moment, just for the gentlemen to get their life right, get their mind right, get their words correct. I know we got a lot of Giants fans ready to come in and ready to say their piece, say their things, what they like, what they hate, what they love, everything about the New York Giants that are now 0-3 in the NFC East, in the NFC, after losing to the Atlanta Falcons, late game field goal, a game that I'm sure every caller that calls in, including every single one of the hosts that calls in here shortly, is going to want to talk about. It is a game where we have lots of questions about discipline. We have lots of questions about coaching. We have lots of questions about decision-making as it pertains to an offensive coordinator in certain positions, whether it be the end zone, whether it be not doing the correct things. Now, I don't want to get too in-depth. I don't want to get too far. There's not really much anybody on just quite yet anyway. So just going to get to talk to myself a little bit, to sit here and get to listen to y'all when y'all get in is what I'm really here for. But as I get to starting, as I get to talking, as I get to going, there's a bunch of things that I think as an outside perspective I can give. And then I'll shut up as soon as people get in that really want to hear what's, you know, the people we really want to hear, the Shakes Montanas, the LRPs, the Chosen Ones. I say I'm like there's more of them, but these men are truly one of a kind. so the Chosen One, the Shakes Montana, the LRP, the Black Freezy, if we have a special sighting by the man, the myth, the absolute GM legend in J-Rock. If he shows up today, that would be awesome too. But again, let's get into this. The one and only game I'm sure people came here to talk about, listen about, which is the New York Giants going against the Atlanta Falcons. A 14-17 loss, making the Atlanta Falcons 1-2, I believe, and the New York Giants 0-3. It was a game that wasn't really much do about any offense. 31 total points in this game. Not, you know, hammer the under there. It was a three-point game. I think it was a 2.5-point spread. So if you had New York, I believe, winning, I think they didn't cover because they didn't win. Those are some of the things that I took away from this game is a defensive game that I didn't think maybe, you know, maybe not a defensive game, maybe a lack of offensive game. Enough about me, enough with me. There is a lot of Giants fans, I'm sure, that want to get in, that want to talk, that want to say their piece. So we will get this in and let everyone get in and say what they want to say and feel how they want to feel out. Hey, what's going on, Shakes? Shakedown, is this Shakes? All righty, sorry about that there. Pretty much what we will be getting into is all New York Giants. Again, like the title says, it's the New York Giants and they need to stop losing. But how? It's not an overreaction Monday. It is Shakes Monday. So we will get into this. We will let everyone get up on here and say their piece. I don't know how the screening process works, so hopefully this is somebody that knows what they're doing. 929, you are the only caller you just called in. State your name, anything you want to say, just go ahead and go at it, and then once we get these hosts up in here, we'll have to cut you off, and then we'll let everyone else get their say in.
Well, fortunately for me, brother, I won't be going nowhere.
I'll be
right here listening to the bullshit. And also enjoying the bullshit and indulging in the bullshit. First of all, let me make sure that I let everybody know. Today is Overreaction Monday, hosted by Nacho in the Box with Cheese. I am your co-host, the chosen one from the Bronx. Y'all know what time it is. If you guys want to call in, speak your piece, get your venting on. This is a therapy session, as I called it. 914-205-5796 is the number to call in. Once again, that number is 914-205-5796 to express your feelings on whatever and speak on your piece about what's went on. Our home loss to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday, heartbreaking, and as many losses the same way 2 weeks in a row. So I know that's a thing that's on people's mind. First of all, before I get into my opening, what's going on with you, brother, and how do you feel today?
I mean, you know, it's the pocket didn't take a big hit like I thought it would in this degenerate gambling that I've gotten into now that Arizona legalized it. So that's a good thing. 37 seconds is enough time for Aaron Rodgers. So apparently it doesn't matter how shitty your defense is with that man. But, man, other than that, I am very, very stoked about today. I'm very excited about today because I know there is a lot of opinions. I know there's a lot of facts. I know there's a lot of stats. I know there's a lot of this and that. I'm trying to rhyme and it's working and it's so awesome. So
yeah,
I just,
you know, when you're feeling good, it just flows out like that. You know? When you have a win, exactly how the other team that you're speaking about lost, it's a whole different opposite effect, you know? So I get your optimism, I get your cheerio spirit, I get your winning ways because that's what you're used to, and I get us seeing one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this sport in Aaron Rodgers do what Aaron Rodgers does, how many times he was counted out. I never said nothing about him ever. You know I'm a down-low Aaron Rodgers fan. The world knows that, you know? And whoever was Aaron Rodgers' fantasy owner last night, kudos to you, because that put you where you needed to be. And hopefully you won against whatever opponent and feel not only the victory in your fantasy, but you got a chance to see some great football on top of that. Now let's bring in the bad clouds, the New York football Giants.
Yes, sir.
Disgusting. Abysmal. Hurtful. Nerve-wracking. Stress-oriented. Discombobulated. Disobedient. Loss of life. Sore to the eyes and belly. Whatever flu virus that you possibly have had, excluding corona, because I don't play with that, because people have lost their lives. I just equated to the worst stomach virus that you possibly ever could imagine if you ever had a stomach virus. That's how Giants fans are feeling right now. It is a stomach flu going around. And for some reason, we all just simultaneously have it right now. Do I know the remedy for it? No, I do not. Does anyone else know the remedy for it? No, we do not. So like any stomach virus, home remedies are going to work best. And hopefully your immune system is strong enough where your home remedies bring you through this faster than normal. And hopefully we all have some remedies that just work for us. So sorry I don't have anything that will work for someone else, but I do have the same feeling as everybody else. Hope I made sense right there, because I'm going to go on another rant after somebody else goes on their rant.
I don't have a really rant to go right now. It's just me and you talking, and I'm sure listeners, if you didn't catch it, maybe you're waiting to hear it again. 914-205-5796. I know Big Blue's got heart. I know Big Blue's got big voices. Let's get them out here. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your soliloquies, your monologues, the way you feel. And I know E's got a lot to say, and everyone's going to nod their head to most of it because usually it's right. And I really do want to hear that. But, again, 914-205-5796. You just don't want to hear me and E talking back and forth. Get your butts up in here. Let's hear what you got to say. But anyway, E, tell me more how you feel. Now, I wanted to ask a question to you. Maybe you can give me a quick answer or not, maybe a long one. But, you know, first quarter, 8 minutes, 12 seconds, clock is ticking down, first and goal. Giants have the ball at the 8-yard line. First of all, I have two questions, a two-part question. As an NFL watcher, not just a Giants fan, just an NFL watcher, not necessarily taking what the Giants have or don't have, what might be the first play you run, and where might your quarterback line up? And second question is, why the hell is your quarterback lined up in shotgun at the 8-yard line on first and goal with 8 minutes and 12 seconds?
Let's do what we normally do. Me and you are very similar in this area and also creative in this area, but most of all knowledgeable in this area. Now, you're going to have a positive outcome, right? Because when your quarterback does what I'm about to say, which is going to be a general thing, right? But when you play above the X's and O's and your offensive coordinator is the quarterback, it's a total different result. So if that made any sense, here we go. 8-12, first quarter, under center, right? Single back formation, right? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Single back formation, right? Handoff goes to wherever the hole is created, and if not, most likely, if they stack the box, because if you look at the formation that they was in 8-12, the Falcons played too high, right? Because you're in red zone at this point. So guess what? And this is obviously the play before the penalty, yes? I know this for a fact. It had to be the play before the penalty that backed us. So
Daniel Jones runs on the third down, gets you guys a first and goal at the 8-yard line.
Right.
The clock is ticking at 8:30, and it goes all the way down. I'm looking at it right now. I'm watching the game. I got the game pulled up on the Game Pass. I'm watching it right now.
I'm
it's
so
the
happy.
The regular broadcast. It's the regular broadcast. So as it is now, I'm going to pause it. We're at 8:17 left, 14 seconds, first and goal from the 8. You have looks like Kenny Golladay lined up far closest to the screen, which would be left side of the field. I can't tell who the second wide receiver is from him, but I'm assuming that's going to be Shepard. Then it looks like you have the normal offensive line that you have set out there and two tight ends, and then Saquon Barkley lined up left of Daniel Jones, who's lined up in the shotgun. Let me make sure I get this correctly. Yep. So you got left tackle, right tackle, center. I'm trying to catch it. And then you got the right guard, and then you have two tight ends outside of the right tackle. That's how you got this play set up. And I'm going to press play. Would you like to hear the commentary on it? Would you like to hear the play? I can get you the...
Oh, I know what it is, but let's do that for the people.
Tell me what this sounds like to you if it's too loud.
Over the first two games, first and goal.
What's that sound like?
It's not too loud, but for people who have the volume control in their phone, they can just turn it down a little bit, but it needs to be loud like that so we can control the volume. That's what I normally tell the fans or the people whenever I play some audio or whatever the case may be. To make sure you have control over your volume, because I'm going to make sure it's loud. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I got my volume. I can. Here we go. So this isn't the radio broadcast. This is the live broadcast. He just says off the fake to Barkley, the pass is incomplete. Well, what happens here, and I'm sure you could attest to exactly what happens. Sorry, let me get this back down to mute here. He runs a RPO fake. I got to rerun this back. See, it's starting to this astonishes me that he's just not understanding, and that Saquon Barkley just doesn't run it straight forward. But let me catch up, and then you tell me your remembrance.
Are you about to tell me about the play? Hold on. Are you about to tell me about the play where he threw a crossing across the formation in the backfield to Evan Ingram?
That's it. Yes. He fakes it to Saquon.
Are you about to tell me about that play?
Evan Ingram comes across from the right side to the left side.
Come on. I know. And I don't even have to pull the play up. I need the world to know this. I am literally speaking to my lady about noodles that I need with the chicken that she made, but I'm so angry because these things are engrafted on my mind that the moment that you said he's in the shotgun with Saquon Barkley on his left side, I automatically told you to play. When Evan Ingram runs across the formation and he throws him a sideways behind the line of scrimmage swing pass to a tight end. That's what you're going to tell me or ask me?
But he can't get the playoff because, one, Evan Ingram doesn't chip the free guy coming in off the edge. And number two, when he doesn't do that, the free guy coming off the edge, who I think is number 6 on the defense of Atlanta, just all he's got to do is jump up in the air, and I'm watching a replay right now. Yep. He runs. Evan Ingram runs right in front of him, doesn't even try to stop his motion, knowing he's going to run fully unblocked to the quarterback with no issues. Can you hear me? We still good?
Perfect.
And it's astonishing to me that this is the play call on first and goal when a bootleg run on third and two or three got you 5 yards to get to the 8-yard line. You just it, it how you can be an offensive coordinator and do these things. We got callers on the line. I am sorry to go on these tangents. We will get them in now.
Right.
Caller,
let me just answer that while you let the caller in. I'm just going to answer that really quick. And I'm going to bring up, you know me, we have the room where I bring up plays and formations and things like that, and I'll definitely bring that up later. Let me just answer that really quick, and everybody can have the floor. First of all, it is asinine, abysmal, and disrespectful to the game. It's disrespectful to me and all the Giants fans, and it is a testimony to what you are not. It is a testimony to what you are not. You are not built for this modern day era of the NFL and play calling in the modern NFL. It's the same thing that you did to Tony Romo when he first came into this league and handcuffed him with these below, before, and benign the stick plays, okay? These cancerous stick plays. And these plays that take place of the line of scrimmage and the formation that are fooling no one. Number one, if I see a tight end running across the back of the formation, that automatically allows me to know what's coming. The ball is going to him. It's already on tape. It's not even a blocked-up scheme to allow the play to develop. He was supposed to make that play on his own. Mind you, here's my last sentence. He's coming off an injury from the preseason in which he hasn't played yet this season. This is his first game in the NFL this season, and he's supposed to make that type of play? I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, all I'll say is it looks like it was an RPO. He should have handed it off if you're Daniel Jones. Looks like everybody on the right side's got it blocked up. 68's got his guy turned around. 76, hand on a hand. 71, hand on a hand. So, you know, Saquon could have made something instead of an incompletion. Getting to the phone lines, the names were up last time. They're not up this time, so this is no disrespect. 832, go ahead and as soon as I make you live, do your thing. Let us know who you are. And let us know how you feel.
It's me, LRP, but I'm in the background.
All righty. Yeah. Now it says your name.
Right
there
now.
We go. Now it says. There we go. We got Black and we got LRP. I don't got. See, whew, it was so nice last time. I had name. Oh, now all the names are up. Oh man, 2021. I'm loving it. So we got Black. We got LRP. No real long introductions.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Do your thing.
God bless you, bro. God bless you. Yo, let me just tell you, bless you. First of all, peace to the God, peace to the earth. You know what I mean? Shout out to the crew. Loving the crew. I'm just letting you know, bro, I typed them joints in there. You got to type them in, you know what I mean? But once you get to know everybody's joints, you know, it's all good. But, yeah, man, just loving the content right now, man. Y'all breaking the game down. First of all, you the chosen one, been on this shit from the beginning. Let me just explain, that we are, I always say this about Danny Jones, but now it's just like the fan base, everybody, look, we're just in a terrible relationship with the New York Football Giants, man. Look, the owner is a sucker, bro, and it's nothing we can do about it, right? So what's happening is we got all these old people in the building with all this new young talent, and we can't do nothing with it. And then we got a head coach who's talking all of this fluff because that's all he can do. That's all he knows to do. He's making terrible mistakes, time clocks, timeouts, all type of shit, right? It's a whole bunch of rookie shit going on with all of these coaches in the building. There's no discipline here. That's a coaching thing, right? So outside of the way the brothers is just going to break down the schematics as they've been doing, we can see what's apparent here. The strongest part of our fucking team is the weakest currently. They cannot get people off the field on third down. Other side of the ball, the offense can't sustain third down. A drive. You can't win like this, nigga. I don't care who you claim. they might as well pull up the little Giants that we're going to lose. This shit baked chicken, man. And we about to get into the thick of the schedule, man. It's about to get real nasty out here. Gumbo status. You know what I'm saying? Like, we about to get to the root of this. We going right to it. First time they about to open up the building. You know what I mean? Like, that defense serious, man. We're gonna have to bring some. We're gonna have to bring some security guards. You know what I'm saying? On this one, I don't know, but at the same time, this is what I'm gonna say, man. Shout out to y'all, man, on the great content. Saquon Barkley. It doesn't look like Saquon Barkley, but every game I see glimpses. I don't know what the fuck Galladay is at this point. I don't even know what he is in this offense. I wish he was Dez Bryant. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Colin Johnson, Eden Chosen One's son. Earned my respect. You know, just seeing you, just seeing you out there doing your thing, kid. That was what's up because we needed you. Once again, wide receivers is banged up, ligaments, everything all tore up. The fuck going on out here with your hydration, fellas? I don't understand it, bro. I can't get it. And people keep saying, oh, just water? Well, that's 90% of your issue. I'm going to tell you like this, man. This is ugly already. I'm down here. Yo, Atlanta scored a motherfucking touchdown in the fourth quarter this season prior to Sunday. They were giving up 40 points a game. Bruh. Come on, man. Shout out to the custodial workers that had to pick up the cans John Mara knocked over, man. You know what I'm saying? Having attention, cock sucker. Ugh, can't stand this motherfucker. That's all I got, man. I'm about to go on mute, man.
And see, that's the perspective of a hurt fan from an organization that continually makes the wrong decisions and doesn't seem to want to make, I don't want to say make, but doesn't seem to want to take ownership of what they've been doing. There's just ineptitude, nepticism, ignorance, unintelligence. There's just so many adjectives and adverbs, whatever you want to call it. The fans, these great fans, I might say, because I don't know how many fan bases can stay like this and keep a fan base like this around. And the New York Giants have seemed to be able to do that for the better part of the last decade. And as an NFL fan, you kind of wonder, you go, hey, how can you still be, you ask them, how can you, I ask you guys, how can you still be Giants fans after you see them continually make the wrong choices and not even, I mean, Joe Judge is saying they're all right today, that they're good. Like, just say it. We are fucked. We are messed up right now. We need to get some shit right, and we need to get it right now. And just taking some ownership, I think, would go a long way from a fan base that just wants to hear, I'm sorry, we're going to make it right, instead of, we got this, we're on the right track.
Yo, Notch. Yo, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to hear this motherfucking press conference. I don't want to hear him say shit if he going to go in rotation on the loop like a fucking bot. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear his fucking voice. I want to see them fucking play and actually be competitive out here. Because we about to start playing some teams for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, we about to start playing dudes that's winning. Like, the Broncos, you know, shout out to the Broncos. I think they 3-0. Shout out to Teddy Two Gloves in there, man, and all that. We ran into that. But we had a chance to win that game. Every fucking game. This shit is literally disgusting. All of this money you spend on the offseason, my brother, we supposed to be stacked on the back end. They finally tried to play a little bit of man in there, but this Tampa 2 cover shit, I don't know what the fuck is going on because everybody sees it blatantly but us. So I don't know what you got to get better at when the middle of the field is suffering. What do you got to get better at?
Everybody knows what's going on. But you. My bad, bro. This is somebody. Yo, this is.
No, I was just. I didn't want to interrupt nobody, brother. I just. Let me breathe. Because this is one of those gotta breathe moments. You see, and let me help the fans understand something right now. This is not anger that you hear, because anger is momentary unless you continuously allow it to continue within yourself. Then it becomes something else. This is what you call present day ignorance, which equivalates to us being momentarily angry. We gave this man a whole new slate. And that's not even what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to hold him accountable for everything that he has done as if he was in a courtroom. But yet and still, we still sit Patrick Graham in a hospital. We still sit Jason Garrett in a hospital. Because we understand people make mistakes. But you've had 120 minutes prior to this game to look, review, understand, and possibly correct your mistakes. You did the same shit the same way and lost the same exact way again for the second in a row. And I think I said that slow enough where everybody that's listening in America can hear me, my co-host can hear me, and the people who are in pain are clapping somewhere. Now you are starting to prove insanity, because we all know what the definition of that is. And in this league, which those three letters stand for not for long, if that's what you're trying to do, when does it get done? At this point, other organizations would have let it be known. Jason Garrett is fired. He is no longer the offensive coordinator of the football Giants. Joe Judge is on the hot seat moving forward. Dave Gettleman has maybe two more games, not the end of the season, to see what's going on to correct the ship, to at least put us in a position to be a respectable team in the win or loss column going forward. This is why we're a losing organization, because we keep hospitalizing the organization instead of putting them in a courtroom. All puns intended to the judge. Now, 0-3, games that we could have won, should have won, is the fable that we keep chopping, and the sentence we keep saying, and the phrase we keep repeating for the better part. It's not anger at this point. It's cruelty. It's heart-wrenching. It's stressful. It's fatigue. And it's disrespect. That's what we're dealing with today.
And I would like to say thank you, Black Freedom, to the man. Next caller coming in out of the West Coast, a man who needs no introduction, a betting man who won some money on my Packers last night, Dan C., let us know how you feel, what's going on this Monday. Man, let us know.
Hey, guys. Yeah, my name's Dan, and I'm a fan of the worst organization in the NFL. They say the first step's admission, so just want to start off like that.
Hold on for 1 second, Dan C. Nacho, your microphone, brother. It's either your position in pause that you win with the mic, pause, or it may be some wind factors or the cord. I have no idea. Go ahead, brother.
How is that?
He was at admission. Yeah, you're perfect now, bro. Dan C., I just want to let you know, I also sit next to you in this group. I've already admitted years ago, but I still have a problem with my addiction.
Same here, brother. That's why we're in this fight together, but I mean, I was coming home yesterday from out of town, so I didn't get a chance to, like, break down everything. I was listening to the game, but you don't really need to break down dog shit. It stinks, right? We can't – the rebuilding Falcons, and you watch the Lions go toe-to-toe with the Ravens. You just have to know you're the worst organization in the NFL right now, and it hurts. And it hurts. And exactly like you said, E, it's insanity. They're doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, and it's just not changing. And it probably won't change for a very long time, which is sad because it starts at the top, as we all know. But as Black was saying, too, the scheme on offense and defense, the defense really blows my mind because we at least thought it was a strong suit. And, yeah, it was a low-scoring game, but still a lot of mistakes, just soft all over the field. Soft.
It is, and man, it is really disheartening to sit here and listen to this fan base with so much. I mean, I've been with you guys for years now, and there's plenty of times where I think I could have heard this and been, you know, okay, I understand. But after so long of you putting up with it, how is this the last straw? Is there really no, you see no good in the future? It needs to blow up, or is that why it is? Again, I heard the insanity thing, and I hear it all the time, but there's nothing at all that gives you any glimmer that maybe something can go right.
I'm going to tell you what it is, Nacho. I like to affiliate and associate permanently. Let me get that word out there. I like to permanently affiliate and associate John Mara to James Dolan. Now, if it's any New York Knicks fans that are listening, and I'm pretty sure there are, I don't have to explain what James Dolan is.
Fact.
He is the cancer of the NBA. He is the ignorance of the NBA. And the only way teams can win with James Dolan is because he hires either a head coach and he gets players that buys into that coach because he has nothing to do with the coaching level or the players in the organization, and they just happen to put it together for a season or two. But like all cancer, and shout out to all cancer survivors, shout out to all those that have lost someone, because I don't want to affiliate a disease that is made by the devil, killing our good people and our loved ones, is affiliated to that, but that's a phrase that they use in sports as well. So I just want people to know that, because I know that's a sensitive word. But just like all cancers, when they come out remission and they are back again, things start to deteriorate from the inside, and then eventually on the outside, you get to see what's going on. And it's in stages. So if I would like to say this, I'm going to move away from the illness itself and just put it on these two men. They're a stage 10 cancer. And there's no such thing as that with the illness, because we're not talking about the illness. We're talking about these two illnesses. They're stage 10 cancers. John Mara and Jim Dolan is stage 10. So there's no cure for it, Nacho. The only thing that has to happen is that they get old enough to pass away, no disrespect, because we all are, and someone else comes in, or they get too old to keep their ways up and somebody takes over eventually and changes the organization from the top to the players. That is it. That is our cure. My last statement, and everybody can have it, I promise I won't say anything until I get angry again, because I'm not angry right now. The moment Tom Coughlin walked out of the organization is the moment the organization fell to shit.
And
amen.
Fuck the Giants. Fuck the Giants. But to answer Nacho's question, and peace, everybody, what's going on?
Peace, King.
Peace, I am LRP, and I am a Giants fan.
Hi, LRP.
Thank you. It's been my first time. You know, to answer Nacho's question, should be
LRP, you transforming, baby. I don't want nobody to miss out on what you got to say.
How about now?
You perfect.
How about now?
It's like five of
perfect.
Us together. Let's do this.
Still perfect?
You perfect.
Cast a last official, that's Bialidosis. Good to go.
Yes, sir.
Say most of shit. But unless there's always hope for the fanatic, you know, each week, especially in the NFL week to week. But we 0-3, man, and you just lost against a team that, and everybody saying any given Sunday, this, that, and the third. Come on, son. Should have won that game, especially with all the other shit that was thrown into the pot. You know what I mean? Just spruce up the gumbo, you know what I mean? Can't just have just the sauces, you know what I mean? You can't have just the, you know, the andouille sauces. Can't just have the okra or whatever the hell you want to put in there, the carrots and this, that, and the third. Nah, man, you got to put a little chunks of chicken in there. Got to spruce it up with a little bit of shrimp. Throw in a little bit of, you know, seafood boil and all that. So they shouldn't have lost, and they lost in bad fashion. They couldn't even score points. You know what I mean? 14 points against a team that's been giving up 80. None of the rules of science apply to your game, and you're still doing the same things as far as the insanity of what y'all talking about, the formation and breakdown of what y'all did earlier. You right there in the green zone, as Tom Coughlin would say, when things changed when he left. In the green zone, you doing the things that you're doing. And you okay with that. You stand in front of the pressers today and you tell the people that you don't plan to make any changes to the offensive play caller. Shit, hell, even the defensive play caller. Patrick Graham's looking crazy. You know what I mean? So it's always hope, but they haven't earned for me to have that hope with them. So it's fuck the Giants. Especially after this shit looked the same way since preseason. You had your GM stand up in front of pressers and tell us that they had more confidence in their line than we do. But you haven't put Pert out there at all. And he's healthy. What happened to that confidence? You know what I mean? You shifting around to stand the third. You making roster moves every day. You know what I mean? So, nah, man, fuck them, bro. Fuck them. They don't deserve that shit. They don't. They all can. It all can go. It all can go. All of them. All of them. Because that's unstat. And now you're about to get into the nitty gritty. So, like Black Freezy said, getting into the rough patch of the schedule now, where all this little shucking and jiving that y'all been doing, figuring it out as you've been slowly chugging along. Everybody else has already graduated. Your ass is still trying to pass the test to get on the field. Fuck that, man. Fuck the motherfuckers, bro. You don't deserve that shit. And then you making dumbass on top of that. You making dumbass decisions even as a head coach. Who the fuck punts on their own 39 with the game on the line? You give it back to them hoping that the defense can hold up when they haven't held up at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, whatever. So they're going to continue to roll with Gary because they don't think he's doing anything wrong. That's insane because it's looked like this since last year, and it's even worse. Your red zone offense is terrible. It's in the low percentages, 30th ranked offense. You haven't moved a notch. but yet you think he's fine. And but you let go of two offensive linemen prematurely last year because they didn't get it done. And now all of a sudden you're scared to pull the trigger. So your whole thing that you said before is all known and void now. No longer a judge. You judge Joe Brown. We all know where he at right now. Straight live on TMZ.
You did. And you're right. And not to, there's a lot going on there. I'm just going to harp on the football of it. And you talk about red zone performances or lack thereof. And I feel, and I just sat here, and me and E started the show off, and we went over the first red zone appearance of the game. First and goal from the 8, first quarter, 8 minutes, 12 seconds left, and it looked like it was a shotgun RPO, which he decided to take away from Saquon, which I think Saquon could have got 3 or 4, the way the right side looked like they had it blocked up nicely. He took it from Saquon. He tries to throw it to Evan, who ran across. And of course, he doesn't chip block on the guy running freely at the quarterback. He gets a free rush. Boom, he blocks it out of the end. And then you get down here to second down now. You got 3 wideouts to the right. It looks like, I wish I knew their names. I'm sorry, 88, 86, and 3 on the left. And then singled out, Galladay on the right. Two high safety. They're begging you to run the goddamn football inside the 10. And he sits here, I'm going to push play right now, and I guarantee you, it's going to be either an incompletion or a sack. And Grady Jarrett, up the middle, swim move on the center, sack to the 22. Like, you can't do that to your offense. I don't care if it's Daniel Jones, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins. You can't do what you plan to do on third and fourth down, on first and second down. It seems as if the OC is trying to do some dumb shit, trying to get cute with it, when really if you – Run, and do what you were trying to do on second down, on third down, when it's possibly third and goal from the 4 or the 3 or the 5 at the worst. Like, there's just things going on that you can't, I don't want to say forgive, but you just can't let go of if you're a fan one, if you're a head coach looking at your offensive coordinator too, and especially if you're an owner who's come out and said you're tired of losing. You can't sit up there and watch first down be trash, second down be a sack, and I'm sure third and goal from way back here isn't any better because you don't have a lot of fucking plays to go third and 20-something. So I just don't get it. Whether it's insanity trying to do the same thing over and over again, whether it's oh, look, we didn't lose by 35, we only lost by 3, whether it's whatever that is, it's got to change.
Not so.
Because,
yo, Phil, check me out, though. Appreciate you, man, because, but listen here. We had 8 penalties, bro. Drive-killing penalties, bro. I think at this point in time, I think we got like 14 to 15 currently. Like, just out there floating, for the season. It's a non-disciplined team. There's no discipline here. None. So that's before the bad play call. Imagine that. This shit here stinks all the way. They might as well play down here. I could smell that stink-ass shit. Atlanta, bro? I can't even believe this at this point right now. Literally, I thought in my mind, I'm like, yo, Matt Ryan, he's on this thing out there, but yo, this time. Something and all that. You know what I mean? Like, boy, that defense is nasty. Daniel Jones ran over Grady Jarrett for a touchdown.
Ran him over.
That shit is dope.
And let's stay on that.
I can't even put this shit in words because we did not win this game. We did not play to win. We played like we wanted, like we was winning.
Black, can we just rewind? I'm so sorry because it's your fault. It's your fault. I'm gonna say it again, for the people.
Just real to that point. Even last week, and I'm just saying this, and I'm out the way, E. I'm sorry, but even last week we were winning,
you.
And they still rushed it. So, but that's that.
He ran LRP since I got you right here because you just – I don't want you to go nowhere. Daniel Jones ran over Brady Jarrett. He ran him over. If Jarrett was able to make that tackle, if he was able to wrap Daniel Jones up, it would have been a failed two-point conversion. And it would have been a defensive lineman getting up, gyrating, doing what he does, and celebration, like, yeah. And we would have been like, why did he do that? He ran him over as our quarterback. That's how hard he's out there playing. And we can't rally around that. We can't play call around that. At that point, you are your play calling is successful. Your running back just leaped from the 2 yard line over the pile, got it in, pause. Then your quarterback just ran over a defensive lineman to the point where he shamed him because Brady Jarrett punched the ground because he was embarrassed. And we're at home. You can't scheme around that because you clicking right now.
Yo, all I know
that's crazy.
After that, you should
that
know in your mind as a coach and all of y'all watching this damn tape thus far that your defense is not going to stop these guys. You got to know that. The damn tight end, young tight end, Kyle Pitts, didn't catch a goddamn ball the whole game. All of a sudden, he catches first downs when it counts. Yo, bro, that's why I think it has to be some sort of voodoo. Some sort of curse. It got to be. Yo, why do we start like this, man? And once again, I think LLP said it earlier, it starts like from preseason. You come out like the worst at this. And we have no continuity on nothing. We can't say that offensive line has continuity because they just put it together.
That's a fact. They're still putting it together. I think this week was the first week where all five played 100% of the snaps and didn't rotate out. Just this week.
Yo, that's why, you know, no disrespect to my brothers. That's why I was like, yeah, I ain't with that all that blue Kool-Aid, man. Because these guys, man, they've been, their history ain't good, man. They got bad history, man, bad credit. They credit bad, man.
Especially in their own damn home. Like, yo, how can you, why are you so, you got the worst record in your own stadium. I think they're like 5-24, they put the graphic up. Or some shit like that.
He either chose one did drop out, but he is back with us.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. That's why I say just about every year is like, yo, can we get a home field advantage? Listen, when are we going to have one of them?
What's matter with this? Okay, now, brothers, since we're right here on this, I want to step over to the defensive side of the ball. And I want to talk about the play specifically that I sent you guys earlier today, and I need to hear answers on this. I need to hear this from you guys because for the life of me, I'm never going to understand it. Matt Ryan, no, first of all, let me give the numbers to people because people need the numbers. Second quarter, 1:38 to go. Atlanta is on the 6 yard line, third and goal. Matt Ryan is not under center. He's actually, let me make sure I got it right for the people them. He's in shotgun, abandoned backfield, right? Calls a play. Here's what the formation that I want to discuss that Patrick Graham has the Giants defense in. He has them in a two safety zone with not one linebacker covering the middle of the field at all. He has Jabril Peppers overloaded on the left side, standing right behind the defensive end. And he has a linebacker following the running back at this point in the backfield, which the running back did not move or come out of the backfield. The linebacker sees a wide receiver at the top of the formation alone. He cuts off Bradbury where he has to get past him instead of running on top of the formation and back of the defensive line. He runs underneath it while the receiver is crossing his face. He stops Bradbury from cutting over and leaves the middle of the field wide open for a 6-yard touchdown to Zaccheaus. Logan Ryan's back is turned at this point because Matt Ryan is looking him off to the left, staring down a receiver, not even realizing Zaccheaus is about to run to the middle of the field. So his second progression before he gets over to the right is a wide open wide receiver because Bradbury is four steps behind because he was cut off from the linebacker. That is what you call pathetic. That is pathetic. He plays zone in the end zone. I'm done.
So
I'm done with him.
So I got it pulled up right now. You're talking second quarter, 1:38 left in the quarter, third and goal.
Yes.
From the 4-yard line. You've got linemen. You've got three down linemen. You've got six scrimmage. You've got three and hold on, I'm gonna play this real quick. There's no sound. You guys, all right, hype. Oh my God, he had two touchdowns on that play. One. The number, hold on, I got it. The touchdown he threw is a touchdown, obviously. But if you look at the bottom of the screen, if anyone has a chance to go back and watch this play again, I understand your frustration because not only did he have one touchdown right in the center of the field, but he had one to the left of the field, on the left side of the field. Let me make sure I get these numbers correct. So, yes, number 8, he motions in. At number 4, runs a little pick play. 1, 2, he blocks number 20. Oh, man, I can't get these numbers wrong. 22, I don't want to get these numbers wrong. 23, he blocks Logan Ryan. It looks like that's Logan Ryan, 23. Number 4, I think is that Calvin Ridley? Rock into the safety. He had a touchdown to number 8, and he has a touchdown that he already had to number 17. And then also number 4 is running wide open. That's sharp. The Cheechus, whatever his name is, catches the touchdown.
He got Cal picked open at the bottom, number 8.
Yeah.
He got Calvin Ridley, you know, emerging. But they was doubling Cal pick, right? But he came open. But automatically, our own linebacker picked up his own man. Zaccheaus became open in the middle of the field, which was barren the whole time.
You're right, 100%. You're right. But what I'm saying is that even if you didn't have that barren, there's another touchdown to the left side of the field. So the defense is still fucking themselves over, regardless of if they fix that little bit. To me, I'm more concerned about the offense because I'm a points-oriented guy, and that's how I've always been. But you can't – you're up 6-0 right here. A touchdown momentum swing, no matter where you're at, home or away. They have to burn a timeout because they're about to get a delay of game. Oh, my God, they don't even burn the timeout. You guys burn the timeout. So not only God, what are you guys doing? Why would you give an offense on third and goal a chance to adjust by giving them a free timeout?
Yo, Nacho, I'm trying to express this to you. Listen to what
that's
I'm saying.
Your defense don't know what they're doing.
This is
they're
what listen, Nacho, just listen to what I'm about to say, Nacho. Not only did you burn a timeout, you put your defense in the wrong schematic to do what you needed to do. You set them up wrong after your timeout. And their offensive play didn't work. Matt Ryan just went off script because Zacchaeus got free. It is yo, I can't. And can I ask a question since I'm not watching the game? What is Miles Sanders doing?
I don't think anything. But you got – oh, my God. Hold on. I'll get to it right now.
Yeah, because I need to know why he has zero.
Oh, he ain't doing shit. Oh, homeboy got an interception. I know that. Hurts to an interception when they were going down there. That's 7-0. Let's go back score. Go to Philly. Because under Philly's rushing, it says no Philadelphia rushing. So it's Philadelphia passing, 2-for-3, 43 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. Philadelphia rushing. No Philadelphia rushing. Philadelphia receiving. How do they have 7 fucking points? They have a pick 6. Fumble 6. It doesn't look like
okay.
A interception.
Okay, right. So Philly has a defensive score because that's the only way.
Yes, that's the only way. I'm trying to figure out
okay.
Why maybe it was a kick.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why they have a defensive score because Elliott has 1. So nobody else on offense has anything except for go dirt, which we got to keep that in check.
Yards.
Yeah, because he have 1 reception for 38 yards, right.
It was Cowboys' first drive, 6th play, 75 yards, touchdown. Philly, first play, 3 plays, 43 yards, interception. Cowboys get the ball, 2 plays, negative 1 yards, fumble return, touchdown. Now Dallas has the ball, or Dallas had the ball, kicked it on downs. Philly's got the ball now when they get back from commercial break.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I just needed to know because I'm saying to myself, I'm not trying to lose no damn game because a Dallas Go Dirt is going to outscore my running back and kicker. That ain't happening. We ain't playing them games. But now that I know he ain't have no touches, pause, we good. So let's get back to regularly scheduled complaining.
These refs are terrible, bro. That was a touchdown by Dak Prescott on a sneak. He literally held the ball over the line, and they knocked it out of his hands. And it hit another player and bounced back, so it looked like it was a fumble, but it wasn't. The play was actually dead. They got robbed. These refs are terrible. And I ain't got no
problem.
These refs are fucking terrible. That was horrendous.
I'm not going to lie 100% LRP. We need to start getting these guys fined. Whenever the NFL has to come out and say that this referee made the bad call, I think that referee should have to pay for it from his own pocket. Then maybe you might not make so many bad calls. Anyways, the accountability issue at the referees is the same thing that I'm putting on your defensive coordinator, is when the fact that you run out a defense and then you call a timeout and run out the exact same defense. Now, again, we could talk all the shit we want to talk about.
Nacho's making me mad.
That guy is a fucking NFL quarterback for 10 fucking years. If you run out one off the defense, and he gets to look at you for 25 to 30 seconds, and then you call a timeout, and you run out the same fucking defense. He gets to look at you again for another 35 seconds. He's going to figure out where he can throw the ball to. So I don't understand what you guys are doing, why you're doing that. Again, if you're going to take a timeout, change the whole defense and make sure that all the defense obviously it is your defense wasn't lined up. They didn't know what they were doing. You wanted to get the defense in the right spot. So then you change the goddamn play to a play that your defense is more familiar with maybe, or that they know better, or that as a – and then you have a little bit more to go against. And then you're not showing a 10-year veteran quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl the same defense for 45 to 50 fucking seconds. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not sorry. And I'm going to tell you why you're not sorry. Because if you feel like that right now, what do you think we feel like that every day? You feel like that for this moment on the show. Imagine feeling like that for damn near a decade. Your rant was 3 minutes and 13 seconds, and we felt like that for over 8 years and 45 days. Think about that, brother. Can we just get a moment of silence on that? Because that's a real thought. Moment's over. That's what I'm talking about, Nacho. You pissed off, and you won yesterday on the same way we lost. That's what we're doing out here.
It's football, man. I mean, you can't just be – you got to – I'm a football – a fan above all else. I mean, God forbid anything happened to the football league and it gets breaking down to two teams, I'm still going to fucking watch. So, it's ridiculous, one, and two, it's kind of like, come on, man. I'm a big softy. I'm a teddy bear. So I hate to see motherfuckers put in the wrong position. And these coaches ain't going to be blamed for it. We don't hear Jason Garrett's name called out. We don't hear Patrick Graham's name called out. We're going to hear Logan Ryan got pushed into the side, so he looks like a fool. We're going to hear Bradbury doesn't know what he's doing because he's lined up in the wrong spot. We're going to say number 48 is trying to run across the thing, trying to get in position because he doesn't know where he's supposed to be. But it's fucking Patrick Graham's fault. It's the linebacker's coach's fault for not making sure he understands where he's supposed to fucking be after you call the fucking timeout to put him in the right position. I mean, it's just ridiculous to watch as a fan of football and watch a team that you know is not that bad. Again, all the shit talking I do, all the rubbing it in, it's not for me as a friend of you guys. But to watch a team that is not that bad perform that bad, It's too much.
And now you see why Giants fans go through what they go through. And also, this is my assessment. I don't want anybody else to roll with this unless they feel they should. We're playing 1980s football still in an era where you hear about all these guys getting to a quarterback due to the twist and stunts and schemes and just a way to get them there. And it's not a bunch of big-name guys coming off the edge getting all of these sacks unless you're having games like Myles Garrett yesterday, which is, you know, kudos and shout-outs to him for giving whoever has him on fantasy damn near 30 points. But, again, who got to Daniel Jones yesterday? Was it not the same guy that he ran over? Was it not him?
Garrett.
It was the same guy he ran over.
Yeah, Grady.
No, Jarrett. It was Jarrett, right?
The first sack at the beginning on the first goal from the first quarter was Jarrett. He chased him down the middle and got you down from the 8-yard line to the 21.
Okay, so I was right. Okay. I knew I was
right. I'm talking about the one when they told.
Oh, okay. Right. But look at what they exposed. Weaknesses on the offensive line for players in twists and stunts from a defense that you know what, this guy's feet is not going to be fast enough to catch up to you. We'll twist and stunt to him because the guy next to him has no idea what's going on, and this is how we'll get there. We'll hit home right there. We'll keep knocking and knocking, knocking, chipping, 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 and eventually he'll hit home because he's not good when it comes to his footwork on twists and stunts. So we'll bull rush, spin move, twist and stunt, eventually we'll get to Daniel because he already has PTSD. Unless this kid gets into a rhythm, we can get him. Shout out to Daniel Jones for the hits he takes, the sacks he's been taking, and the last two games he's played to put all the prognosticators under the middle finger, which is in his palm, and raise it himself.
Mm-hmm. And
he is our best player, hands down.
while we are on this stream, 47 minutes left of the live content. You probably can stay with us for extra time, I believe. 914-205-5796. Shakedown. Overreaction Monday? Nah. This is Shakes Monday, hosted by your boy Nacho in the Box with my man. We have 443 caller. I'm sorry, I will get your name and I will remember it next time. You are live. Let us know who you are and what exactly you want to say about your, I'm assuming, New York Football Giants.
Shakes.
Is that Shakes? It's a different number
yep.
than last time. It
Montana.
Is Shakes. Montana. So you already knew what was up there, player. I knew you when you unmuted yourself. It was probably you, but I didn't want to make assumptions because you know what that would be.
Montana,
yeah.
What up, King?
Yeah. Well, we were assumed. What's going on, brother?
You know what time it is? I'm waiting to hear what you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be great.
Your day, sir. I'm trying to do my best to keep it down for you.
So I'm sitting here and I'm watching Philly and Dallas. How come, like, their rush holes be, like, so large? Like, this dude, Tony Pollard, like, running for, like, 7 yards a pop.
Ted, Tyler,
sit here, man.
Setting the tone. You see Ted DiBiase up there in the middle.
Touchdown. So I sit here and I envy at how easy it looks for other people and other teams. It just seems so easy to win a ball game for everybody else. Yo. So I'm watching, right? I'm watching Green Bay. I didn't even hear what you had to say about the game, Nacho, none of that. But I'm watching the game. It was a good game, my ass. But I'm watching it for the fantasy purposes because I'm like, man, if I beat Nacho, I done beat all of my co-hosts this week in fantasy. Yeah.
Exactly, Dan. So
I got to take my dubs,
bro.
Right? I got to take my dubs, right? So I'm sitting there, and you got four Packers. I think you got the Packers defense. You got the kicker. You got Aaron Rodgers. I forget what you got. You got another Packer. And I'm like, I'm just looking, and I'm like, man, because I'm up by a lot. But I only got Nick Bosa. And this is the end of the game. Like, once this is over, our game is over. Our matchup is through. So I'm leading the way the whole time, and I'm just watching, and I'm just watching. And then when San Francisco goes up, and it's about, what, 40-some seconds left or some shit like that? I said, oh, wow, they left this man some time. And I wasn't caring about the game. I care about my fantasy game, right? So I told you got Aaron Rodgers for more points, right? And, yeah, you had the tight end. Tight end, Rodgers, kicker, and the defense, right? So tight end ain't doing nothing for you. So I'm like, I ain't even worried about him. Rodgers almost threw a damn touchdown to Devontae Adams. I don't know if y'all remember that shit. Almost broke my heart. I'm like, damn, that was it. But didn't happen, right? So look. And it's about a 50-something yarder, 51 yarder. And I look at the score. And I'm up by 5 points. And I'm like, huh. So, man, tell me, if this man makes this field goal, he wins the game. That's interesting. He ain't gonna make this shit. 50-something yarder. Game on the line. Now, mind you, I just watched one of my favorite kickers kick a 66-yarder to win the game for the Purple City game.
Mm-hmm.
66. And so I'm sitting there like, man, it might be one of those days, right? I'm like, man, especially for me, right? Because my Giants lost this way and all this other, you know. So I'm like, this might
all day,
just,
baby.
Yeah, it just might be that for me. It just might be in the stars for me. And so happens, this man kicks in. This is with room. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. And I looked at the screen, and I looked at that score. And he won by a fractional point, bro, like .25. Yeah, that's how much he won by .25. Oh, man, I said, man, listen. I don't know if I should even watch football no more this year, man. This is some bullshit. You know, it's just so hard to be a Giant fan, man. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Yes, I am a poor winner. But I feel as a Giant fan, you have to be. If the Giants win at all, you should throw a parade. Kids should not go to school. You know, things of that nature. You should exchange gifts. You know, it should be a celebration for us to actually win a game, because it seems like it is impossible for us to do so. It's so hard to sit here and watch a game. You're rooting for a team and you have to battle against the referees with their bad calls. You have to deal with the coaching and their bad play calling. Like, how come we don't want to run the ball? I mean, Saquon Barkley was having a lot of success yesterday. A lot. Really. I'm not exaggerating. He's having a lot of success running the ball yesterday. How come we don't do it? Especially on first down. I mean, it was a minority thing for us to actually run the ball on first down. I mean, why? Like, I haven't watched football for 30-something years. And for everything I know, most of the time, you run the ball on first down. Reason being is because you can chip away at the yards on the down. So whether you get 2, 3, or a good run, 4. Like Tony Pollard is getting 7 a pop. So if you're getting 7 a pop, that means on second down is what, 2nd and 3? Okay, if you're getting 4 a pop, that means a 2nd and 6. Right? It's just common math. So, how come we want to pass with, is it a 50-50, it's going to be a completion or incompletion? And if it's an incompletion, well, guess what? It's 2nd and 10. And then more likely, because we pass in it, it's a penalty because it's going to be either a holding or a false start or a delay of game. So we're going backwards. And now it becomes a 1st and 15. 1st and 20. And then we got to climb our way out of that. How come we don't want to run the ball on first down? Especially if we're having success doing so. Horrible. No, no. I want people fired. No, no. See, listen. Let me tell you something, Nacho. I defended Jason Garrett last year. I said it wasn't his fault. He needs the tools. I lied. It is his fault. And I want him fired. Because I'm looking at this shit and it's making me sick. Listen, Nacho. I've defended Gettleman since he's been here. 3 years. Maybe four. Since he's been here. And he has yet to give me the hog mollies. I want him fired. I need him gone. Listen, Nacho. I like Judge. I like Judge. I thought he was a Belichick-esh guy. He is not. He sucks. I want him fired. He needs to go. One more, Nacho. Just one more. Just one more. Just one more, okay? Just one more. Mara refuses to change. I gave him the benefit of the doubt that he can. He wants to kick over trash cans and say every year, this is unacceptable, but every year he's sitting there taking it with no Vaseline. I want him to get rid of the team. Please sell it. Be gone. I'm done. I've been sipping this blue Kool-Aid all season long, and it's been a short season, but for us it's been an eternity. But I am not drinking anymore. Fuck that Kool-Aid. I'm about to toss it and spill it all over some strippers.
Why you got to spill the strippers? Why you spill the Kool-Aid on the strippers, man?
I gotta do it.
Come on, man.
Not the strippers.
But we do have a call. You fuck that Kool-Aid shirt, man.
But we will. 34 seconds. 914-205-5796. Shakedown. Shakes Montana. Letting everybody have it. Mara, sell the team. Yo, Judge, you are not Bill Belichick. Get the fuck out of here. Everybody got to go. 845. I'm sorry. I wish I knew who you were. I will get it down in the future. Tell us who you are and why you hate the Giants and why everyone needs to be fired. Oh, my God. It's the greatest GM of all time. How did I not know this? It is J-Rock. I am so sorry. I apologize. J-Rock. Grace us with your presence, my friend.
Put that in there. That's a New York number. 845. What's your name, location?
Hello? You guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, man. What's your name, location?
All right. So my name is Anthony, and my... What was the second question you asked? My team? Oh, no, location. Oh, no, nah, we rep New York. I'm up in New York in the 845. Shout out my boy E. I know he's on the call right now. You know what I'm saying? He's the one that brings me onto the show here when I pass in. But, you know what I'm saying?
It's good, huh?
I'm listening to y'all talk about these Giants and stuff like that. And my one concern with, like, the discussion at the moment is y'all act like this wasn't going to happen.
You're lucky I'm not on the board.
No. You guys act like this wasn't going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Y'all was, just like your boy said, y'all was drinking the Kool-Aid, preseason, the draft, all that. You know what I'm saying? And all y'all came out from it is an extra first-round pick and an 0-3 record right now. Like, and
I
then...
Anthony, real quick, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So we know you like football. We know you like football. What is your football team that you represent?
Exactly. Oh, we this is where it hurts. Football right now. You know what I'm saying? Us Philadelphia Eagles.
How dare you? How dare you? Call this
broadcast.
Oh, okay. Yo, Black, can I say this? I didn't already seen this brother physically show love to him, and he chooses to call in right now. On this Monday, while his team is playing, to add salt to the wounds all around the broadcast.
That's
a
true,
I'm not going to lie to you. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what will happen when I see you the next time. I'm just going to leave it right there.
I mean,
I don't know.
Listen, the way this is going, one and two.
Between me and you, if you're going to be at our line of work Thursday and Friday, then you'll catch me then.
I promise to see you Thursday and the time is
that's even better.
About
you know what I'm saying?
So
I might even have to call you out on the microphone.
You decided to call it today. And your team isn't looking so hot, but is it interception? Your offense has no rushing to speak of. Why do you have such gall to call into this station and say, oh, why didn't you see that coming? When why don't you see a 1-2 coming?
I called in
today because, you know what I'm saying, I was on the show before when y'all had your original setup on podcast bean, and you know what I'm saying, I was giving advice, I was giving my intellectual thoughts about the NFL, whether it was the Giants, the Eagles, just anything in general and stuff like that. But I haven't been around recently and stuff like that because I didn't know y'all switched up how the show was going to be apart. So once I found out the new setup, I had to join the call. I had to listen and see how everybody was doing, you know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody okay, everybody is in good spirits. But then as soon as I joined this call, I hear all this hoopla. Like, y'all trying to get management fired.
That's not hoopla. That's hula. It's hula hoop. We are spinning the circles, spinning the wagons, Anthony. Spinning the motherfucking wagons. You damn right. And please don't say it's only week three. Don't say it's only week three. There's two people that need to go. We all know that Murray ain't going nowhere unless that man has something severe. I ain't wishing death on nobody, but all I'm saying is, you know, inheritance is a good thing. Whatever. However, though, two motherfuckers need to go, Gettleman and Garrett. But that's not going to happen because the dude already said that he's not going to win. But, yes, you are hearing that correctly. It's not hoopla. That's a hula hoop. And I'm telling you now, we are fucking masters at it because this shit looked the same last year. It looked shitty in preseason. Had nothing to fucking cheer for. They're not moving the ball, not moving the needle, not keeping the offense on the field. Defense is getting exposed left and goddamn right because they're always there. Like Stephen A. on the fucking TV screen. You're bound to say something fucked up because you're always on fucking TV. So, yes, you heard that right. And it's not hoopla. The motherfuckers need to go.
Now, there's one element that you're missing, and
I think Black Crazy
has a lot to do with what's going on. You say there's real two
quick
people that gotta go. In reality,
real quick, Black Freezy, my bad to cut you off, bro. Black Freezy, where you at, yo? Yo, Zeke Elliott might motherfucking win you this game, bro, the way he running, yo, on this damn Eagles. And I'm having PTSD from last week.
I'm having PTSD. Touchdown, damn it.
Yo, he just got three. No, he got two. But, yo, he about to get, yo. Philly sucks. That's all I gotta say. Go ahead, y'all can finish.
Yo, you lying, Shaq? I ain't even looking at that shit. I'm so upset right now about the Jazz, bro. Anthony, you upset me even more. Just hearing your vocal reflection, bro. I just can't do it right now, man. You know what I'm saying? This guy here with these damn Eagles, man.
No, finish what you were
saying.
Though,
somebody has to come in and be the devil's advocate to this Giants station. And, you know, I'm more than accepting to be the devil's advocate. But the one point that I did want to point out based upon your speech that you had wrong was you said two had to go. When in reality, y'all know it's three. And do you want to guess who the third one is? Because I'll make it real clear as soon as
you?
I say his name.
It could be 1A and 1B, Graham and Judge, as far as I'm concerned. But I know they ain't going to blow it up like that. That's just not in Mara's DNA.
Nah. See, you looking at the wrong territory. I'm looking on the field.
Oh, who is this?
Daniel Jones wants to play running back in a system where y'all got Saquon Barkley and y'all got all these weapons. And if y'all looking for success in the future, you need a quarterback in the shotgun formation spreading the ball out besides taking the option himself. He's quick. He's quick, and he's gotten y'all touchdowns running the ball, but when it comes to spreading that ball around, opening up more options, trying to scare the defense and stuff like that, he hasn't done that. I think y'all know, especially with the way y'all record is going and how y'all got an extra pick next year, y'all could poise yourself into upgrading for a much better QB, whether it be in the draft or through trade. We see how the Rams are doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Looking like the most impressive team in the NFL. Potential Super Bowl winner right there, contender. Can't throw that out.
Yo. No. You got to throw that out because that's Sean McVay versus Garrett. What? No. Throw that shit all the way out. Get back. I do not want it. There's a fly in my suit. What? Damn, you can't compare Sean McVay to no Garrett.
LRP, can you please throw me the alley-oop to this disrespectful young man? Please.
So disrespectful. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yo, please throw me the alley-oop to this disrespectful young man. Please. He
this
just said that we have a quarterback trying to play running back and cannot spread the ball out on the field, right, which that's what he said, to open up more options to make plays. And then he jumped right into an overhauled offense with a quarterback that they gave up two first-round picks for and I think a third or something like that and exchanged the quarterback that they had because this team is already – been and one of the top defensive teams in the NFL, and now with a quarterback to do the things that you want to do, which you were still successful and made it to the Super Bowl with the quarterback previously that you had, which says to me you have a well-oiled machine, It's just that you want to add some more parts to enhance the machine. Disrespectful, Anthony. Okay?
And
we don't
the motherfucker that they got
here.
Now broke his shoulder in the middle of a game, told him to come and pop the shit back, and came back in the game and threw three damn lasers for a touchdown. Not even the same guy.
And hold on. The symbiotic relationship, right? Because I know you into anime and comics, Anthony. So that will be similar to what Eddie Brock is to Venom. Okay? Symbiotic relationship between Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay already makes me mad. You understand? We don't have that here. So please, before you start taking shots, Little John, at us and our quarterback, win this game tonight first.
Again,
and then I respect
again,
it more. All right?
Again, we all know the phrase, you know, what is it, a rock and glass house and throwing stones or whatever. But when your quarterback's out there posting a 33.9 rating on Monday Night Football, and you're getting shellacked by 14, or is it 13 or 14? It don't matter. Two touchdowns on Monday Night Football against a division rival. I would come on the other team that's worse than the division's podcast and try to talk trash to them too. But so the aspect of the Daniel Jones and all of that, you know, hoopla that you're trying to spit about, you know, wanting to be the running back and. And this
hula
hoop. No. You have hula hoop. He's got a hoopla going on about Daniel Jones wants to be the running back. That makes no sense. When you have an offensive line that can't stay consistent, except for this last game, I think they stayed all five in 60 minutes. But before that, they hadn't been able to keep all five in the same position, even through the preseason, let alone the first two games. And then you have an offensive coordinator that doesn't know what he's doing, let alone know how to call plays for an offensive line that isn't that good when he spent a better part of a decade with a top three offensive line, a top 5 to 10 quarterback, and a top three running back. You don't have those things anymore, and you're still calling plays like you still do. And then you, on top of that, you get into the red zone and you call plays as if you don't know what's going on anymore. Like, it's not 2021. Like my man said, it's 1978. It's just and you think that the shotgun is a new thing and nobody knows how to defend it. It's just it just doesn't make any sense to me what this offensive coordinator has been able to do for the past 2 years, and still you want to blame a quarterback who in the last two games has put up his top two PFF rating and to the naked eye has looked like he was not the problem. I just don't get it. And as an outside guy looking in, it's nothing to me, because my quarterback always had the opportunity to go down and win a game, and then his defense would fuck it up. And last night, they just left 37 seconds on the floor. The Giants are in this situation where the quarterback is now trying to do the best he can, but instead of going for it, they're punting the ball away. Instead of putting it in the hands of your quarterback and living or dying on his arm and then realizing if he's got that gene or not, you punt the ball and don't give him a chance. And you never see the football again because they chew up the rest of the clock and they kick the field goal to win the game. Like that, how you blame the quarterback when he's sitting holding his helmet on the sideline for the better part of 220 or 230 at the end of that game is a beyond me. I just don't get it. I mean, especially when your quarterback – now 25.9 passer rating on Monday night. But I'm sure you're gonna, you know, make all the excuses for Hurts. But we gonna blame Daniel Jones. I'm confused.
Hey Nacho, I'm gonna tell you something on a cooler note, right? For you and Anthony, where you guys are totally connected. He's a Phoenix Suns fan. So I had all the fun in the world, right? Talking my talk about that, but we'll get into that another time. But, Ant, just in case you need to know, you do have a friend over there in Nacho when it comes to basketball.
Hold on, hold on.
You said I'm a Phoenix Suns fan.
You see how I did that? You see how you see how I did that? Because I know you a Clippers fan. I was trying to be an a-hole. You see that? That's what I was doing. You sat in my house and watched the Clippers game with me. And they lost to
Chris Paul and boy.
You see, I get vindictive when you start coming on here after losses. You feel me? That's a part of me nobody really sees. But that's how I get vindictive when you start talking crazy. When I, that's how I go. I start talking all kind of craziness. Don't do that at 0-3. Come at me in 0-2 or maybe 0-1. But 0-3, it's a whole different thing.
And Anthony, I think I think to answer the question, I think you came in asking is how come they didn't realize what was going on? Why didn't they think it? Of course, every fan base is optimistic in the preseason. I mean, unless Urban Meyer's your head coach, or Jesus himself and the Texans is running your team. But the whole aspect of, you know, drinking Kool-Aid, whatever it may be, in my case green, in their case blue, in your case, you know, shit brown for the Phillies. But the whole aspect of being optimistic is what makes fandom great. And then you go 0-1, okay, you can still have some optimism because, it, you know, it is what it is. It's the first game. We can, you know, bounce back. There's no preseason. 0-2, okay, it's shitty. We've done this for the past 5 years. We can get it together. It's Atlanta. They've given up 32 to Philly, 48 to Tampa Bay. We're somewhere in the middle of those two teams at the bottom with Philly and the top of Tampa Bay. We're somewhere in the middle. If you're a Giants fan, you're thinking that we're probably going to put up 25, you know, in that game and yada, yada, boom, boom. And then as a Giants fan, you go in and you can't put up 14 points. And you look at the OC, and then you look at the way the defense just – you know, I got, as a football fan, watched the defense run out there and didn't know what they were doing on a play. But a 10-year vet at quarterback watched them. They call a timeout, run out the same defense. That same 10-year vet got to look at the same damn defense for almost 60 seconds, take them apart and got a free touchdown. So, again, the optimism is there. And then you roll into a season with the same old bullshit week one, the same old bullshit week two. And then it compounds even worse in week three for them when you can't even put up 14 points against that defense. And then you can't stop Matt Ryan and that offense who hasn't been able to do shit, really. And it's understandable. It's understandable. And again, if they don't leave 37 seconds on the clock last night, I'm 1-2 and I'm in the same fucking boat they are. Fucking need to be fired. So again, it's losing, everyone needs to go. Winning cures all. That's just the way it is, man. Look, Shakes didn't say, and it got quiet, so I'm going to take over. Shakes didn't ask for my opinion, and he said he didn't care about the game last night. But you know what? You know what? Great. Aaron Rodgers thinks in 37 seconds. You know what no one's going to fucking talk about? How the offense before that was too pissy, too pussy, to go for it on fourth down. They kick a field goal and only go up 6 fucking points. And how the defense lets up 75 yards at the end of the game to give them a touchdown to go down. So as a football team, as two facets of the game, offense and defense, the Green Bay Packers lost twice. And if it wasn't for the speediness of the touchdown, because the defense is so trash, and Aaron Rodgers getting 37 seconds, that's why he comes back and wins. So, yeah, it's all good when you're 2-1 and those – hold on. It's all good when you're 2-1 and your kicker actually makes a kick. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But you know that when you go up against the real teams later in the year, like the Packers are going to have to do, you're going to get let down. The defense is going to look like trash. The offense is going to come through. So, yeah, right now in week three, I can sit here and go and be happy because I'm 2-1. But I know that later in the season when it comes to the hard test and in the winter when it becomes real, this team doesn't look like they're a playoff team. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. But right now, of course you can.
But let me say something to you, Nathan. Please. You're talking to fan base that wishes, maybe even prays, that it will be 40-something seconds on the clock. And we have a confidence that our quarterback or this team can march down far enough for us to kick a game-winning field goal. We are not even that good. So for you to sit here and cry about you winning, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Y'all
again,
won.
It's not a cry about winning. It's been
to win. Yeah. No, listen to me. Y'all found a way to win. You know what I always say in fantasy about me is that winners win, and you find ways to win no matter what. Whether you got to call your best friend up the night before and say, what do I have to do? Whatever you have to do to win, winners make it happen and they win. So it's the same thing on the other way around. Losers find ways to lose, and we are losers. So we don't want to hear about your fucking wins, okay? And you crying about your wins. Fuck your wins, okay? We don't care about your wins. You take your wins and you shove it. Because we wish and we pray that we can sit here and cry and mope about a fucking win.
Look, you know, crying about a win or whatever, it's not crying about a win. It's kind of being realistic and knowing that you did win. It of course, you can, it's going to nitpick. You know, if he misses the kick and I come on here, and you guys let me get my words out and say what I want to say, because I would have said the exact same thing. The exception is that it's happened. Now, again, you want to talk about winners win and losers lose and Daniel Jones and why he's in this and that. 4th and 9, 2:05. All right, starting 19, 2:05. Daniel Jones gets a 10-yard pass to the 50 to Saquon Barkley. 2-minute warning comes. It's 4th and 9 at the 50. Your OC and your head coach don't got no faith in your offense, in your quarterback. Why is that? They have all the faith that they felt that they didn't need to upgrade the offensive line. So in this position, you are tied at 14-14. It's 4th and 9. How is Daniel Jones going to help you with his helmet in his hand and the punter kicking the ball? How are you going to find out if Daniel Jones can get you fucking 9 yards when you really need to and take you to 2-1-2 instead of 0-3? Again, I understand you want to fire Jason Garrett and all this and this and that. But you want to have the opportunity. You want to have the faith. You want to have that stuff. Your team isn't even giving you the opportunity to have faith in your team because they're just giving up with 2 minutes left in the game. When you punch a ball at 4th and 9 at the 50-yard line with 2 minutes left, you're giving up. Again, you can say what you want about Matt Ryan over the last couple of years. He is a 10-year fucking veteran with Calvin Ridley and the good guy Kyle Pitts who's starting to mold into something. You don't want to give him the ball with 2 fucking minutes and all he's got to get is a field goal when your defense hasn't been that great. So I understand. And I understand what you're saying. Yep. Losers lose. My team would be losers without one player. That's what I'm getting at, one. And two is, you got to, if you can't even, as an organizational franchise or head coach, just say, fuck it. We're going to ride with this guy because he's the guy, and we're going to see. I don't give a fuck how much faith you have in defense. I don't care if your defensive philosophy is defensive championships, yada, yada, yada. You're fucking tired. You go for the goddamn win. And, again, this organization and you guys are fans of a guy who go for it. Helmet catch. Manningham on the sideline. Going for it. Even when the chips are against you and it doesn't look like it's going to go the Giants' way in the past, which we can't live in because it's now, but in the past, I get it. It came through, and then now you're not even giving that opportunity to the quarterback. That's what I'm getting at. And that's why, I live on the Twitter sphere, how anyone can entertain denigrating Daniel Jones after these last two games and telling me why he's the reason why and he's got to go and you got to figure out a way to trade for him or get rid of him and use your first two prop picks next year in the first round with Chicago and yours to get a new quarterback. No, you get a brand, you get an OC that knows how to at least think in 2020. And you go get some offensive linemen in the draft and free agency, and maybe this quarterback might be able to do something. Because to me, I'll talk all the shit I want. I love it. It's fun. I love to knock you guys when you're down because we're friends and we can do that to each other. Because you would do that to me when it happens to me and when Aaron's gone next year.
Let me know when you're done.
Yeah. My thing is.
I got a rebuttal.
I get you. I'm almost done. Real quick. My thing is, I don't want to hear any more about a quarterback who's going out there and performing the way he is supposed to. And when your OC and your head coach are making it very, very clear that there is no faith in him, then I don't understand. And I understand why the fans have no faith in the team, because if we're supposed to be with this guy, give him the fucking chance on 4th and 9 at the 50 with 2 minutes left. If they're going to get a field goal at this time, they're going to get it anyway. Because the defense is going to let them have it. So, I'm sorry, Shakes, for that long one, but go ahead.
No, you ain't say nothing wrong. But my rebuttal is, and let me say this, it is not Dame's fault. I repeat, it is not Dame's fault. But he's not the quarterback that's going to sit there and overcome all these obstacles. And a great quarterback, no matter what you put in his way, he's going to come out successful. We all know he's not a great quarterback. But I will not the blame on him. But what you said was, that this organization did not have the confidence. And obviously, right, they didn't have the confidence in him to win the game. That's a detriment to them and also him. Because if you were that quarterback, you will put him in that position. But the fact we all know that he ain't, that is also more detriment to them because they had the opportunity to get that quarterback that they would have been comfortable with in that situation. And instead, they were backing up this quarterback who they seem like they don't have no confidence in. It's just an oxymoron. It's just stupid, and people need to go.
So I understand that, but when you hear Joe Judge come out and say things like what he said today, and I believe it was today, and we're fine, everything's good, does that obviously mean he's not worried about his job? Because again, I've always said this again, I'll use the hoopla, hula hoop type of thing. But the whole, you know, on the next week, you know, we take it one game at a time. And okay, we got to move on. No, this isn't those winner situations. You need to be up front. You got to be pissed. You can't say everything is okay. You can't say everything is all right. You're 0-3. You're not looking good. You let one of the worst teams score 17, which isn't great, you know, which isn't bad. But you couldn't put 14 up on them. Come on. Like, you've got to have answers. You've got to own up. And when those type of things happen, you, as me watching that, and I don't have an owner as a fandom of the Packers, so I don't know. So when I listen to Mark Murphy, I have to go, okay, fuck, there's nobody he's got to answer to. But when I look at Joe Judge and I see that, I see a man that doesn't fear for his fucking job. A man that doesn't give a shit about what the outcome of his paycheck is going to be, stands up in front of everyone when you're one of the worst-looking teams in all the NFL and says everything is okay. When you have no fear for your job, you have no accountability. I mean, I don't want to branch it out into, you know, other things like, you know, referees and politics and police officers, but when there's no accountability, things just start going awry because nobody gives a fuck about what's going on. I'm going to continue to get paid. I'm going to continue to be a head coach in the NFL. Nobody's going to take this job away from me because the one person that can has my back. And when a head coach says things like that, it's just ridiculous to me. One, because me knowing you guys got to deal with that motherfucker. Two, because there's no other place in the world where nepotism is put on display more than the NFL. And it seems like the New York Giants seem to be the epitome of that. And no one wants to address it or even say anything unless they're on a show. There aren't any shows like this because you guys are one of a kind. But a show that is willing to take that step and say, you guys are fucking idiots, and quit with the nepotism and bring somebody else in here that might just shake it up. It may not work, but it'll fucking shake it up. 47 seconds left in the live. 914-205-5796 if you want to get in and say anything to us. We're going to keep it rolling. Is there anything else anyone has to say about this? I understand heads got to roll. Things need to happen. I don't anticipate the way Joe Judge talked that he's on the chopping block. I haven't seen anything from the OC and Garrett, I don't know how he says it. He says it better than me. The collapse. So I don't know if he's got any confidence or anything in what he's talking about. But
Josh Gordon going to the Chiefs?
Yes, my sir. God. Yes, sir.
My God.
Don't care about the weed. Come over here. Play for the Chiefs. Chiefs and weed goes hand in hand. Keep the weed here. We don't care. As long as you're in the end zone,
kick it wide.
Do your dad. Keep your weed here. We don't care.
I do not mean to cut off.
Because nobody visits Kansas City.
I unfortunately have to go clock out of work, so I have to cut my time short. But I wanted to end on a high note. So this goes out to the Washington field hockey team. This goes out to the Cowgirls, and this goes out to the Littles, not the Giants, the Littles. Fly, Eagles, fly. We're going to win the division. And E, I will catch you on the flip.
Watch your back, Thursday, Ant. Watch your back.
Oh, man.
But besides that,
how you gonna sit here?
I hope all y'all have a great night. I hope all y'all have a great night, and I will be back on the show shortly.
No,
it might not. You might not make it to East Style Friday, so it's okay.
Yo, how you sit here down 20-7 at the half, talking about fly, Eagle, fly? We gonna win the division.
Can't lie about
him. Because he probably ain't even watching the game. He's getting paid to talk to us. He's getting paid to beat us down to the ground.
So I have week 8 Monday Night Football. Do you think that Kansas City Chiefs' new wide receiver makes it that far into the season?
Who you talking about? Josh Gordon?
Yes, Josh Gordon.
I don't know.
Because if he does, that means
sounds like a fantasy question.
Because it kind of is, and more or less, I was specific to that day because Monday Night Football, November 1st, is Giants at Chiefs, which would mean you would have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Josh Gordon, and Mecole Hardman to deal with.
My first question is that game flexible? Is that a flexible game?
That is a November 1st game. They don't start flexing until the last November week. And I think it might be later now that there's 17 games. So you are
locked in
the Chiefs on Monday night,
Eli might call in sick that night. Yeah, Eli might call in sick that night. Might be Cooper and Peyton on that Monday night game.
Yeah, man. I mean, even without Josh Gordon, that's going to be a tough test. But, like that's 5 weeks away from now. That's an interesting
I just want to make sure that this announcement was made. Did anybody come on and say R. Kelly was found guilty?
No, I did not.
Nah.
He's guilty. G-U-I-T-Y. No L. Guilty.
We know he was obedient, man.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you know, it just comes on the precipice of what we got going on. You know,
we're never gonna hear his songs ever again.
Oh no, they're gonna play them more now because you won't listen for what's going on in the song. Like, see right there. Like,
no,
he was telling them.
They'll ban all those songs. Spotify, Apple Music, all those. They'll be gone.
Oh yeah, they will, but we won't.
Yeah, but he don't even own that shit, so somebody gonna wind up playing.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to ban something I already own. I mean, I got every CD he's ever made.
That's crazy.
It is.
You know what the craziest part is, too, gentlemen, that I got to bring up? Is that for the first 6 months before preseason and 3 months into the offseason, training programs, all the camps, preseason games, Daniel Jones was the object of ridicule. 3 weeks after the season is intact, everybody else now is the problem from all the prognosticators. It's funny how your play just in a couple of weeks can remove you from being a ridicule object and victim. Now you are a victim of circumstance. That's crazy to me. He was the object of ridicule. Daniel Jones better step up because the Giants go as he goes. And now you see he's actually going. And we can't even follow his lead. And like Shake said, confidence in your quarterback leads to confident thought processes with your coaching staff. And you know what? I feel it's totally different. I feel no matter what he does, the incompetence of the play calling and the 1979-1980 plays doesn't fit our quarterback. We see now what he's doing. He's running over defensive linemen, running them over. And we can't put confidence in him. He's making every throw necessary. And we can't put confidence in him. See what I mean? See how we deal with it? Shakes, I love the fact that you said that. You said something that I never heard you say in 2 years. You said, it's not him. You've never said that in 2 years. Is not him. And I want to talk about the fact that he lost 2 starting wide receivers and still was able to make it happen in that game. He lost Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. He has C.J. Boyd and Colin Johnson in there. Kadarius Toney has 2 plays back-to-back for 20 yards and never got a pass in the second half. We are going down with the ship. We are going
look,
down.
Look, I said it earlier, man. It's fourth and nine from the 50, and I pedal this till the day I die, man. You just got to give him a shot. Like, it is what it is at this point. Right at that moment, you had a chance to make everyone's mind up in New York as a fan. At fourth and nine, at the 50-yard line, at the two-minute warning, you're just coming out of the two-minute warning, so you got all this time to prepare. You give your quarterback a chance to prove the guys and the women and the children who have been on his side like he is good, that he is good, or you prove all the guys and the women and the children on the other side that he's not worth a damn. He either fumbles or whatever. He gives up the game, and then you just move on from there, and we continue. But now there's so many questions. What if he would have got you to fourth and nine? What if he would have scrambled for fourth and nine and a half? Like those things, those things rally a team, like to me. So like, I'm like, you just gotta give him a shot. Again, if you don't believe in him, let him prove you right. Then you can move the fuck on, blame him all year for the losses and keep your job if you're Joe Judge or OC Garrett, and then. You know, you're good to go. But now you've got questions upon questions upon more questions about a guy who, like I said, and like Shakes backed up, he's not the motherfucking blame. And in a league where we're always going to blame the quarterback, these two guys, and Jason Garrett and Joe Judge, can't get in front of the media and blame Mr. Daniel Jones because the media knows, and they've also got this handy-dandy notebook, that says he hasn't played bad. He's actually played very well in the last two games. So keep trying to blame him when we're being told by this book that we go off is telling us that he's playing well. So I'm just really perplexed that they wouldn't even just give him the shot to prove them, like I said, even if you don't believe in him, prove yourself right. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I picked against the Packers. And they proved me right and made me look dumb. That's cool.
Nacho, can I add something?
Real quick. If you're the head coach and you want an outcome to be good, but you think the outcome is going to be bad, just let it go. Because then you already know what's going to happen. You can say, see, look, I'm smart. And then if you're not, you're like, damn, look, I'm glad I wasn't smart because we won the game. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to stay right there with you. You heard what you said, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to add to that it's a totally different way. Joe Judge himself has been making mistakes. So if my head coach has been making mistakes, challenging plays that don't need to be challenged, calling timeouts to get reviews that doesn't need to be reviewed, taking timeouts from us that we need in football situations and looking as dumb as you're looking in the last 3 weeks, how can I expect
Hold on. My bad, bro. I just want to ask this question. You can finish off what you said, though, because you just said something that just pissed me off just now that it reminded me of what happened yesterday. Why the fuck would you sit here and challenge something when, regardless, it's fourth down and you're getting the ball anyway? Why are you sacrificing a timeout when you're getting the ball? Like, who does that? Like, really, who does that? Yo, that was the most idiotic shit I ever seen in my life.
And oh Shake, I'm happy you said that. It's no interruption.
I'm sorry.
When
go
you
ahead.
Say
you
things
finish,
like
bro.
That. No. It's not an interruption when you say things like that because I actually am fueled off that. So I'm cool with it. You know why, Shake? Because it goes right into my point. How could we think he would put confidence in a quarterback when he is making those mistakes to take away from the chances that you give your quarterback? How can we think like that? How can we think Joe Judge is going to be the guy right now? It's going down. when he's doing that? Last week you challenged a play within the 2 minutes that's unchallengeable and took a timeout from your team when they needed it. You could have iced the kicker with one of those timeouts. It works. This is the NFL. We've seen it happen before many times where one of us is in elation and the other one is feeling like how we feel right now. He's made boneheaded mistakes, and he stands at the podium and tries to give some type of educated, well-spoken, articulate speech for it when you can't fool us. But it sounds good to probably the newer Giant fans or the COVID babies or whatever, because you ain't going to fool me when we're going to play smart, sound, disciplined, tough nose. You're not going to get me with the McAdoo-ish bullshit, okay? We see what's going on the field. You're hindering your team. You're making mistakes from the coaching standpoint, adding to Jason Garrett and the new name, Fag Trick Graham. Okay? That's the new name. Fag Trick Graham. All right? One more time. Jason Garrett and Fag Trick Graham. You're adding to them. Joe, no judgment. So far. We have three ignorant-ass coaches. And we have a quarterback who now we can say deserves better because most people thought it was him. He has actually improved in his contract year. And they are destroying us as a unit. We have a three-headed diseased monster. Something has to give.
See, this is, to me, the not the bigger issue, but one of the main issues I have with the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And the one thing that I think Vrabel and Flores have gotten right is that in the event of a losing, a bit, in just that losing stuff, in New England, it is okay to say, we're on to New Cincinnati and, you know, we tried our best and we keep moving. It is okay to say, you know, Tom Brady just did his best and we're going to keep moving because we're going to keep moving. Because after they have a big loss, they don't really have another big loss again. But when you are not that type of team to be able to just bounce back, which is where these coaches are going to, not topper echelon teams, not teams that have been winning for decades, for the past 2 decades. They just don't know how to get in front of a mic and say, we're doing it wrong. We need to, and maybe not we're doing it wrong because nobody ever in this league will ever say that. But, you know, we point out some things, say some things that, you know, went not the right way. And let's try to do things the correct way and stuff like that. There is a problem, a quintessential problem with the Bill Belichick coaching tree and handling and how to handle losing in the aspect of your football team and the aspect of the media. And when it comes to the media, they all think that if you go out there and you give this short, sweet, on to next week type style of speech, the media will forget about it and then we'll move on as a team, sweep it under the rug and move on back to the winning ways. However, most teams of those coaches never had the winning ways to go back to. That's why we see a lot of these coaches just look like fools in front of the camera, and then on the football field, their team has nothing to respect. One, you haven't won, so why are you going to talk to me the way you're talking to me? And two, we haven't won, so why are you going in front of the camera and saying everything's fucking okay? So that to me is what is part of the big downfall. And then, of course, you compile that with the ineptitude and the nepotism that is the franchise you root for. And then that's how you get Jason Garrett, or, you know, whatever E calls him so eloquently, and Skinny Graham or whatever.
Jason, Jason Garrett and Fag Trick Graham.
Patrick Grant. and it doesn't matter because there's no accountability at the top. So I can push the blame in the media to everyone else and never have any accountability. And I think that's what I was trying to get at earlier. And it's just, you know, I know we've exhausted the Giants talk.
No, I want to ask you a question while we're talking. And I want to ask the rest of my compadres, as Shake says at times, a great question. Because we've felt this way when it came to Eli Manning. And I'm going to bring him all the way to the forefront, 3D, coming at you. I remember a time where we felt like Eli Manning just needed help. We didn't have a line. We couldn't run the ball. He didn't have receivers. And we were like, yo, we are wasting his career. That was a consensus all across the board. That was a consensus for all those that know after 2011, 2012, they should have had more pieces to keep him to play longer, to be more successful. Although he had a successful career, it could have been more successful, not on the borderline or mediocre, as some people put it. Here we are again, ladies and gentlemen, with a quarterback that I'm not crowning him nothing. I'm just saying it looks as if our best player doesn't have the things around him to make him successful at this stage, based on the last two games. Do you guys feel the same way, or do y'all feel like, you know what, it doesn't matter, get him out of here, yada, yada, yada? I need to hear this from my brother. So please, it doesn't matter how you answer. I mean, it doesn't matter what order you answer in. I just want to hear what you guys got to say. Because I remember feeling like this with Eli Manning, me personally.
You know, I'll go make it short and sweet. Outside looking in, I watched that game yesterday, mine being a Sunday night game. I wanted to be prepared. This is my first week on the show, really being involved like this. So I wanted to get real in-depth into this Big Blue Talk. So I wanted to watch this game. I wanted to see what my eyes have been seeing, and I wanted to confirm it. And the quarterback's not the fucking problem. So I have noticed over the past 2 years, excluding this year, so 19 and 20, it was the quarterback. He couldn't hold on to the football. He was making bad decisions. There were some things that needed that were off, that if he made right, maybe it would go the right way. And in the first game, you kind of thought it was the same shit again. And second game, no, man, it fucking, hey, he played his best game, man. That's okay. Can we do it again? Yeah, we can do it again. Now I'm watching the game and I see an ineptitude at the offensive coordinator position. Now, again, I am a man who sat here and screamed, hey, take the 3 points. I'm not mad. Matt LaFleur, you did what you had to do. Cost us the game, but I'm not mad at you because you took the points and you put the – now, last night, two teams yesterday and last night, I'm fourth and nine at the 50. Go for it. Fourth and whatever inside the 35, Packers, go for it. They both don't go for it. A punt and a field goal. I am on that train. It is fourth down. It is 2021. You put it in that motherfucker's hands because the goddamn punter ain't going to win you no motherfucking games. The kicker, on occasion, is not going to win you no games. In that case, he didn't win you the game right there for the Green Bay Packers. So those things are pussyfooting and not playing today's football. And those, to me, are not on a quarterback. Those are on the head coach and the offensive coordinator. And in your case, it is Jason Jarrett, and he is a fucking imbecile. And the fact that I watched a team that could have put up 40-something points on a defense that was getting run over by a quarterback that doesn't run anybody over, it just was beyond me. So I'm not going to sit here and talk shit about Daniel Jones and call him Dumpster Jones anymore, Dumpster Juice, because it's not what it is anymore. You know, I said, give every quarterback 3 years. He is now learning how to fucking play quarterback with an OC that doesn't know how to fucking OC. He knows how to clap real well, and if you give him a top five O-line, a really, really good quarterback, and a top three running back, He knows how to call regular plays, and then those will go off script, and that quarterback will make something happen like Dak Prescott did in all those years in Dallas. So that guy needs to fucking go. I told you when you brought him in, he was a piece of shit, and the clapper wasn't going to do shit for you, and now it is just almost too late. Sorry, I said I was going to keep it short, but I didn't.
I just
it's hard
want
to
say
when you're
this.
Talking about disrespectful shit going on. I got you, though, Nacho.
I just want to say this. We all know how much of an Eli Manning fan I am. We all know that I defended him to death. I even had him in fantasy teams. When people was thinking I was crazy for having him on fantasy teams, and I was actually winning with him too, okay? This is the Eli Manning fan that I am. And so yesterday was Eli Manning's day. Finally, that time that we all get to say thanks. Everyone. Fans, organization, family, opponents, players that played against them, we all get to say thanks for the years. It was Eli Manning's day. And we all, including myself, would love for us to win the damn game for Eli Manning. One more go at it, one last hurrah. But after we lost that game, and I was sitting there like, how could they do Eli like? But then I thought about it. They didn't do right by him in his latter parts of his career, and they ain't going to do right by him while he's done and he's finished neither. It's sad. It's fucking sad. Ruined it. Ruined his day. But not only that, ruined the latter part of his career. And that's unforgivable for me. So I am no longer backing up this GM. I'm no longer backing up this coaching staff. No longer backing them up at all. I love the players. I love a lot of these players. I love the team. But as an organization, for the decisions that they make, I cannot back them up no more. For the play calling being inept, I cannot back it up no more.
Shake, I don't want to cut you off because I want you to keep going. What did it for you yesterday that you wanted to shoot bullets through your TV? What did it for you yesterday when you said, here we go, I can't do it on offense? And then I want to hear what you said, here we go, I can't do it on defense. Because the bullets had to come out at different times. So what was the bullets that was shot from you on offense, and what was the bullets or time bomb or whatever on defense? I just want to hear your thoughts on what you saw.
Well, it's not so much the defense for me. I'm not sitting there saying that I think the defense played great or good or even mediocre. But it's not what made me feel the way I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling the way I'm feeling right now because I came in this season thinking that things was going to change, and it hasn't. And when you sit there and expect things to change, and it don't, that's insanity. You keep on expecting it to change. You're not going to do it no more. But that's number one. Well, for number two, the play calling for me all season long is what I've been looking at. And it, I know it has a lot to do with me seeing how Saquon Barkley is reacting to the injury and seeing, like, where is his career going forward. So I'm really zeroing in on that. And when I zero in on that, I can't get a legit, like, stamp on, okay, he's done, or, okay, that man is going to be the special guy that I knew he was. I can't put my finger on it. And why can't I put my finger on it? Because this fucking guy refused to run the ball. Situations that tells you to run the ball. Situations that you should run the ball. Situations like first down. You don't run the ball. And then you sit there and you make a, and they have a big play and you have a good play and you use first down. And every time it's a big play, you know what they do? They sit there and do a reverse or one of these little stupid trick plays that don't go nowhere. And why? Why are you doing that when you can just run the fucking ball? Stop getting
you
so
be,
damn
you
cute.
You would be referring
then,
to
no,
after
bro,
the 38
no.
passed the ball.
You pitch
that
the fucking ball? No, bro. No, you pitch the ball. You pitch it. No, what? With how these linebackers have been playing all game long, you seriously. No. You don't sit there and see, oh, he having success running it up the gut, or we toss it to him in space. No. No, we're going to pitch it to this motherfucker. Like, the most idiotic fucking play calling I've seen in my life has been coming from Jason Garrett all season long. And I sat there and listened to LRP complain about it last year, and I'm like, bro, it's not that bad. Chill out.
Oh, no, you got worse.
Well, it is, bro.
With me, no, hold on. You treated me
it
worse
is that bad.
Than LRP last season, to the point where you was like, you know, I know we watched the game together and all that, but you be pissing me off.
No, it's
because
not,
of the way
it's
you,
not even
I'm
about
like,
Garrett. It wasn't about Garrett with you. It's this whole Betcher shit but Graham with the zone shit that was getting on my
right.
nerves with you.
Right, okay.
You know what
right.
I mean? And I'm
so
like, bro, the defense is not the problem. The defense is the strongest unit last year. So I could not and did not understand your gripe. And we're going to leave that in last year, okay? But what I'm saying is LRP was sitting there zeroing on Garrett, and I kept saying, I hear you, and you're not wrong, but I just don't think it's his fault. Well, like I said, I was wrong, and I want to apologize to LRP for accusing him of not being right, because he was absolutely right. It is Garrett. He's a fucking idiot. I can see why they took the damn play calling from him in Dallas. I can see why they ran him out of town, and I want to do the same goddamn thing here.
Guess what, Jake? We have a guy named Freddie Kitchen that sits in an office right next to him and that runs around.
So look, that's not a better option, but it's the only option. So I understand. But look, I did a quick check. I was like, I know Shakes is right, but I want to know how right he is. First drive, first play, pass. Second drive, first play, pass. Third drive, first play, pass. Fourth drive, first play, pass. Fifth drive, first play, pass. The first non-pass of the first play was a quarterback kneel by Daniel Jones with 7 seconds left in the first half. First play of the second half. Holy shit. Saquon Barkley up the middle for 6 yards. That's the first drive of the second half. Second drive of the second half.
Yeah, watch after that.
Pass.
Watch after that. Mm-hmm.
Third drive of the second half. I'm assuming it was a pass because Daniel Jones scrambles up the middle for 11 yards because he was in the shotgun. And in the third quarter, on to the next drive. Pass. That is the end of the game. You started one drive out of what I count, 8, excluding the kneel. The only
and
one
what did
drive
I say earlier?
You started off with a run.
Minority, you ran ball on first down.
Minority is a major understatement. Minority is
I know, right?
4 or 3 out of 8, or maybe even at the lowest,
exactly.
2 out of 8.
Two.
1 out of 8
right.
drives.
Not one.
You started with
not
a
one.
One. Just
come
one.
On
just
now.
One. Just one.
I'm telling you, I know what I see, bro. I go on my eyes, bro. I know what I see, bro.
I believe
because
you.
I yell
I believe
at
you. No, Shake. That's the crazy thing
time.
Is I believe
one.
You.
Yeah.
I was like, he's right. I watched the same game he watched. But I was like, I think it wasn't as bad as maybe we're making it out to be. Let me go see.
No.
That shit didn't lie.
It is what it is. And we've been complaining about it for over a year now. And I hope he burn in hell. Yes.
Unbelievable.
But I got something else. No, Jake, I got more for you. You ready? Y'all know me. Stats and facts. Are you ready, Nacho? Since hiring Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator in 2020, the New York Giants have been 32nd in yards to go on third down, 31st in points per game, 31st in explosive pass play, 30th in points per drive, and 28th in yards per play.
So, my goodness, those are amazing. Can we pile on some more? Listen to this. I remember going into this weekend, we were there was a stat going around about Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger, and at the same time he's playing and being a better running back than Najee Harris. You guys play the Saints this weekend. You know their quarterback, it's Jameis Winston. You know their running back, it's the almighty Alvin Kamara. Your quarterback, 68 for 104 on the year, 782 yards, and 2 touchdowns passing. Now, he's going to have less touchdowns than Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston is 38 for 63, 387, 7 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. And granted, he had 5 of those against my Packers week 1. So, okay, rushing leaders. Okay, we figure New Orleans Saints, they're going to be Alvin Kamara's team. 52 carries, 177, no touchdowns. The New York Giants rushing leader right now is Daniel Jones at 23 carries, 161 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I am saying this to prove a point. Stop giving me Daniel Jones. Stop tweeting me Daniel Jones. Stop trying to argue with me about Daniel Jones because he is not your motherfucking problem. If he is your rushing leader when you have a healthy Saquon Barkley, granted coming off an ACL injury, he is healthy because he's on the goddamn field. There's no way Daniel Jones should be your rushing leader in week 3. And then, of course, he has a good passing percentage, 60-some percent, 700 yards, broaching 1,000, going into week 4. No interceptions. The man is playing. The man is playing like an NFL quarterback.
68.8% passing. Let's get that out there. 68.8% pass.
I'd give him a C if I was a teacher. My thing is, this is egregious, atrocious, asinine, but you are 100% correct in all of everything you guys have said today. And I'm backing you, and I think we have gone head-to-head about this, and we've argued about Daniel Jones, and we've argued about the offense and things of that. We are all on the same page. Gason, Garrett, whatever the hell, Clapper boy, got to get the fuck out. Graham,
and
you got to get the fuck out.
No,
and Joe Judge,
you either
got to get the fuck out or you got to do something.
And guess what? You know what was funny? On the last show that we had, I was asked, what do you want to see this Sunday? And I said, all I want to see is both sides of the playbook. I want him to flip the play sheet over, and that's how we win. I said it just like that. I want to see both sides of the playbook. On offense, we go as far as Daniel Jones carries us, and I want to see both sides of the playbook. Guess what happened? We went as far as Daniel Jones ran over Brady Jarrett. Ran him over. And then saw one side of the play.
Did y'all catch that BMF side?
You know what, Shakes? You're going to be so hyped. Because I'm going to say this and be like, that's what it is. I just clicked it on. Dead serious. Mm. I just put it on just now. The play button is ready with square around it on the Fire Stick. Y'all know how I go. And I'm about to push play as soon as the show ends.
Well, then, let's get it underway. Black, Shakes, Eda chose one of the last three with me. Let's get these closing statements out. I'll go ahead and start it up. Man, thank you guys for letting me host this stuff, man. It's awesome. I can't wait for tomorrow. We got some good stuff going in. We're going to talk a lot about your Giants, but we're going to talk about some covers, some overs, some unders, some week four action, who to look for in fantasy, and all kinds of shit. I'm trying to get it all in a good two-hour span. So, again, check me out tomorrow night on this show again. Man, Shakes, Black, D, J-Rock. Everybody, LRP, the whole crew, thank you guys so much. And I can't wait.
Oh, man. It's good,
you know what I'm waiting
on.
For? Y'all might laugh. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Shakes. I apologize.
No, you're good.
No,
I just want to say it's good to have you on the team.
I want to say this as a testimony to our newest host, Mr. Nacho in the Box with Cheese. You know what? I'm talking to you, Shakes. You know what I can't wait for? Because right now it's fresh. So you see how he's all in, Jeremy Lin. You see how he's all excited, and I love it. We all like that. I can't wait for them Packers losses to pile up at some point in one day, right? And he don't want to do a show. I cannot wait for that day to come when he call us and be like, yo, I ain't doing shit tonight.
Nacho Tuesday.
Absolutely. Ain't going to be Nacho Tuesday today. It ain't going to be Nacho Average Show tonight. Yo.
Nacho Day.
No, I cannot wait
today.
For that. Yo, Nacho, trust me, bro. Sometimes the vocal cords is just choked and strained because the hurt is so serious. And Shakes. Shakes will skip on Monday, bro. Cause he
hurt. It's a rap, bro. I'm not equipped to do a show, bro. In this mindset, bro. I'm not equipped, bro. Like my mind is not there. Like I can't do it. Like That's why when your boy came on, I didn't even say nothing to him, man. I can't even talk to a Philadelphia EU fan right now, bro. I will end up asking for his address. And it will be on, bro. I'm like, bro, I'm not in the right mind state, bro. Like, I'm not in the right mind state to deal with shit like that right now.
Especially because they about to let Dallas take a stranglehold of this division right now, too.
Dallas, man, they look good, man. They look good. I'm not a hater. They look good, man.
I mean, shit, they do. They look like the
Ain't
Dallas
Mike
of
McCarthy
last year.
Ain't Mike McCarthy the OC over there?
He the head coach.
Isn't
over there.
Mike McCarthy the OC over there?
No, they got the old ex quarterback. Fuck, what's his name?
Yeah. Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore. Okay.
Yeah, but McCarthy
is
the head coach.
He kept him.
Okay.
He kept him when he came over there because he was on the Garrett staff.
He's an idiot. He makes just as bad decisions as fucking Garrett and Judge and them, bro. Like, he's an idiot too, man. McCarthy stuff.
He does. He got a bad.
And I'm not
saying
that because he's a Cowboy coach right now. I'm saying that just because that's my opinion of it.
He's not a great coach at all. I mean,
to
be honest, it's the Andy Reid effect
so it
backwards.
Make him look bad.
It's the Andy Reid effect backwards. He actually won the Super Bowl early, so he got the pass. Now Andy Reid won the Super Bowl late, so
right.
Now he gets the pass because, like, people seem to forget, like, he didn't know how to manage a clock for the better part of 15 fucking years. He spent 5 NFC championships and a Super Bowl fucking the clock off, and now you see it again. But because he got Patty Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Mecole Hardman and CEH, it's like, okay, we're going to give him a pass because he got all these weapons and they're going to bail him out. But what happens when you have bad management, you don't know what you're doing, you fuck up a little, and then on the first drive, you're miraculous. You know, the guy who's supposed to make everything happen, he throws a willy-nilly pass for grabs. It's intercepted. You never see the football again on offense. And now you 1-2 in last place in the AFC West. So it's like there's a bunch.
Listen,
go ahead.
McCarthy is the same way. And, yeah, I mean, I know we about to go, but listen, like, just seen it just now before the half. They get the ball back with 40 seconds left, right? They got two timeouts. Two. They don't call the fucking timeout. They let that shit go all the way down to the 11 seconds left. Why? When you get the ball back and it's because you up 20-7, like, you put your fucking foot on their throats and you fucking finish them. Fatality. You get the ball back with 40-something seconds left. You're not taking those two timeouts with you. It resets. After the half, you get three again in the second half. You're not taking those two timeouts with you. What are you saving them for? That's McCarthy. Stupidity, bro. Stupidity.
If you want to go against those big dogs and you want to be taken seriously, Sean McVay, B.A. down in Tampa Bay, Matt LaFleur, they're not all – maybe not Matt LaFleur, but they're not going at the end of the half at least, two timeouts and not trying to get it down the field to at minimum – go up another three more points. At minimum, go up another three more points. Like,
right?
40 seconds, two timeouts, that's an eternity, especially for
exactly.
These teams that can move it. So, and especially if you've got a kicker like they do and Greg the Leg, all you got to do is get down to the 35, give him a shot. That's all you got to do is give him a shot. And he going to either miss wide or he going to make it in. He ain't going to give him a chance to return it. So you do that. That's been his MO for years. And thank God for my fandom that I had Aaron Rodgers, because last night he said it again. At the beginning of that last drive, Matt LaFleur suggested the first play. And he even said that went back to McCarthy. He never told him what to do. He did his own thing. Now, I'm not saying every quarterback's got to be like that and every quarterback should be like that. But – you either, one, got to put some damn faith in your QB to make those decisions, and two, my goodness, man, you have a guy. You got guys. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, if you get him on a quick screen or something in the open field, like Dak Prescott in the open field, you've got players that can do some shit, man. And you out here pussyfooting around trying to protect the lead. And lucky Philly's a trash-ass team, and they don't got nobody because they would have made you pay.
Right.
Look what San Francisco did when you pussyfoot around. They come back, and you don't get the ball back until it's 17-0, you kicking the ball. You don't get the ball back, and it's 17-14. Like, you can't pussyfoot around in this league. Teams will make you pay. Luckily, for the Dallas Cowboys, the last 2 weeks,
guys,
they've gotten away with it.
They get paid millions of fucking dollars to make these decisions, and they fucking make these idiot-ass decisions. And I'm like, why? Why are you getting paid so much to make these dumbass decisions, bro?
1980s football shakes. You grew up watching what we're trying to do right now. You grew up watching this, and it was okay. You grew up a defensive lover, running the ball, and let our quarterback get you maybe 20 to 24, 21 to 24 points, and let the defense sort them out. But now look.
Well, you gotta pick one. Hold on, pause, bro, because you gotta pick one, bro. You gotta pick one, bro, because you can't be motherfucking sitting there saying this 1980 football, and I'm not saying with you. But if that's the mantra that they want to go on, you can't be on no damn classic football shit, but sit there and motherfucking pass on first down every fucking drive.
Exactly.
Bro. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're trying to play 2021 football, but say we playing 1980 football. You gotta choose one, bro. Which one are you doing?
I think to be honest. I think he thinks it is 1980 and nobody knows what the shotgun fucking is. I think that's what he really thinks. To denigrate his intelligence.
It's absolutely that, bro.
There's no other excuse for it. You can't sit here and go.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead, do your thing.
That's blasphemy to sit there and play 1980 football or 1990 football or even now. And sit there and pass on first down every damn drive, but then rely on your defense. That's not if you're going to be that team that is passing on first down and that's what you do, you better be an offensive juggernaut like the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Like the Bucks and all that. You got to be an offensive juggernaut to do something like that, and your defense has to be secondary. You can't sit there and say our defense is primary and we want to pass on first down every single time. No, if our defense is primary, then we need to be running the goddamn ball so we can control the damn clock and keep that damn defense fresh. How about that? I mean, that's just common sense. To me, that is.
It is common sense, and I think the issue is that if you want to pass it on first down, which the analytics say that you can pass it on first down and have results, is you got to treat the passing game as an extension of your running game. You have to have those quick fire shots, 2-3 yards, less than 2 seconds off the ball, and those things got to be an extension of your running game where the pass rush has no chance to even get off the ball and get at you. There's nothing going on, and if you're not doing that and you're treating it as if it's second or third down already, and it's second or third and long when it's really first and 10, and you line up in a shotgun and you go to pass for a 10 to 15 yard pass, and then you miss it, you ain't complete, or worse, you get sacked and you're starting at second and 10 and plus, there's just nothing for your offense. And then you want to run it because then you're behind and you don't want to get your quarterback killed again. And then now it's third and, you know, 9 or 8 because Saquon can only do what he can do when the defense knows, okay, they're going to run it because now they're in the run formation. It's just you're doing so much to let the other team know what you're doing without ever correcting it and then making it better. And then, like you said, you can't sit here and have the philosophy of 1980s or 1990s or old school, quote-unquote, football, and then you don't even use the passing game as your run game. You use the passing game as if nobody's ever seen it before. Because, again, like I said, if you're doing that, like those type of things on first and goal from the 8 at the very beginning of the game, those things were happening in the early 90s and things when it was unheard of for teams to be in shotgun inside the 10. That's just what wouldn't happen. You're in a run formation, you're going to pound the rock. And then, boom, you spread them out. What the fuck's going on? I don't know. That's cool 15, 20 years ago. Now everyone knows what the fuck's going on. We'll just line up in a better defense. You can't do shit. We'll sack you. You're out of field goal range. Or you're out of touchdown range. You got to make a long pass, and it's now field goal time. So every single time I watch this team this year, I can no longer say that the players on the field coupled with the coaching. Because the coaching is no longer putting them in any type of position to ever win anything, whether it be a one-on-one battle or the actual game. So those guys got to go for y'all, and it's just annoying. And bring it full circle back to tonight, Monday Night Football, Greg the Leg, Mike McCarthy 2 weeks ago, they have the ball in 40-something seconds, and they let the clock run all the way down with, I think, one or two timeouts. If Greg Zuerlein misses that long-ass kick that you forced him to make because you wanted to get no more yards because you're a goddamn pussy, Mike McCarthy, then, you know, then we get to talk all the shit we can. But Greg the Leg bails him out, and nobody talks about how big of a pussy Mike McCarthy is. But it is what it is. Mike, you know, Mike is Mike. Aaron Rodgers got on that Super Bowl, and he'll live in infamy as a Super Bowl champion, probably one of the most undeserving head coaches to ever win one. Black, are you still here? E, I know you're still here. Shakes, you're still here. Got about 8 minutes. Y'all say what y'all got to do. I said my piece, man. I can't wait to be going this thing. And again, I love this talk. And we just spent 3 hours talking about a team that's losing. If it was my team, I think I could spend 9 hours. So I will be waiting for those times to rip my team new ones and new ones and new ones, if that time ever occurs. Doesn't look like it is anytime soon. But, man, thank you guys so much. And, like I said, it got about, looks like, I can't read that right. I want to say it's 8 minutes. It could be four. I don't know.
it's looking like four, yeah. It's looking like four. But, man, listen, man, great episode. Thank you for filling in on Montana Mondays. I appreciate it. Everybody knows I don't, especially losses like that, I can't even fathom to do a show. So to have you to rely on it and say, hey, can you do it? And you like, man, yeah, man, I'm ready to go. And that was a blessing. So, man, listen, you say thank you, and we saying thank you back to you for joining the squad and filling in much needed spot that we needed you to fill in. Looking forward to tomorrow. Not sure where it's Tuesday. Definitely I'm going to let y'all know what happened in fantasy. That's what I do on Tuesday. So I'll be here. I'll be here tomorrow. I need to let the people know what time you're going to throw the show up, whether it's 6, 7. I mean, it's on you. Even if you throw it up at 5, just let the people know when you're throwing them up, man.
We will keep it regularly scheduled at where you have it now.
All right.
Yo, also let me know so I could definitely promote, brothers. Y'all know how I get down with that. That's been helping us draw in a lot of good numbers and a lot of different callers and a lot of different people. So a promotion is definitely a part of what we need to do. Please let me know at least a half hour in advance to an hour, and I will make it happen.
All righty.
So y'all join us for Nacho Evers Tuesdays tomorrow. 6 p.m. Eastern time. Y'all know what it is. That's it, man. I ain't saying go big blue because, man, right now I'm sick of this team, man. That's it.
So
I want to give shout-outs to Gason Jarrett, Fag Trick Graham, and right now, Judge No Judgment is right. You guys are the three-headed monster. In the kaiju world, we call you King Ghidorah. We all know he got his ass whipped and killed by Godzilla. And it doesn't matter. You are suspect. All three of you spell sus, S-U-S, which is the acronym for suspect. We're not fucking with y'all. We're not feeling the situation. You cannot trick us with the system. We're not with it. Y'all suckers, all three of y'all right now, the sucker crew. And the streets have left a lot of bodies because of y'all. There's a lot of bodies on the street. Blake Martinez out here making tackles he can't make, getting jukeboxed out of his slippers, thrown on his neck, tearing his ACL. Sterling Shepard, I don't know what happened. He was having a good game, pulled up, lame. Kenny Galladay trying to stretch his life right so he could be in on one-third of the plays at least. Can't get him on the field.
Then Darius Slayton hurt himself hobbling off the field. It's called not running the routes that caters to your wide receivers. You got them stopping short, getting hit, not going down to the ground, trying to make us happy as fans and trying to prove something to us when all you got to do is do the Victor Cruz. We all know he stops it in the end zone, but he also went down to the ground when he caught a pass. He was not trying to get hit. Go down to the floor, live to play another down, and don't stress your knees out, your legs out, your lower extremities, and hurt yourself. Darius Slayton, I know that's what happened to you on that 3rd and 5 when you caught that pass over the middle and you got gang tackled and you didn't want to go to the ground trying to show you got some fight in you when this is unnecessary. I know you tried to help yourself out and help us feel good about what was up, man. We get it. Last week you made a mistake and you wanted to show the fans, especially on that high emotional day, that you was all right. But these are the things that got you hurt. Shout out to Collins Johnson and C.J. Boyd for stepping in and showing up. Y'all just weren't in the game. Y'all actually were successful helping us move the chains, putting yourself in position on 3rd and whatever, 2nd and long. Galladay for fighting through it, getting what you need to get. I get it. Saquon, you did as best as you can with what you had. Last but not least, very hurt over what we call discipline in this game. We had no discipline again yesterday, taking points off the board, long runs off the board, drives off the board, pushing ourselves back in the red zone. We are murderers, Cheddar Bob in the red zone. We are Cheddar Bob in the red zone. No more complaints. Waiting for Nacho Average Show tomorrow. Either Chosen One from the Bronx. Y'all know what time it is. Tune in tomorrow, 6 p.m. I might have something else to say.